Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
And it is 4:02 on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Patio season has arrived at Mulligan's. It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio till 7 o'clock tonight. Also heard on our FM frequencies, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, and online at KGYMradio.com. We have a wonderful show for you today. Lots to digest on June 6th. Byron Buxton, the center fielder of the first-place Minnesota Twins, will be with us tonight in the 6 o'clock hour. May seem a little odd to you because the Twins are playing the Indians at 6 o'clock tonight in Ohio, but we caught up with Byron earlier today so we could work him into the show. Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com with us live inside the 5 o'clock hour. We'll be discussing all things Oliver Martin and then some with Tom. We're going to recap the Major League Baseball draft with Carlos Collazo of Baseball America. Craig Kimbrell signs with the Chicago Cubs. We'll get to that, as well as Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals, reaction to Game 3 of the NBA Finals, and a whole lot more. But we start by letting you know we've got a great giveaway for you today. Tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias Wednesday, August 14th at the Iowa State Fair. We'll be giving you a chance to take those tickets off our hands sometime between now and 7. And if you join us here at Mulligan's, happy hour is underway. It started at 3 o'clock, goes until 6, 6 until close, half-price wings. We have a full-size, brand-new, in-the-box Amazon Echo that we are registering folks for, and somebody is going to leave Mulligan's with that Amazon Echo tonight. Todd and Alex with you, and we start today with Oliver Martin, the former Iowa City West standout and possibly former Michigan Wolverine. What does Oliver Martin wind up doing? 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. This, Alex, came out last night as we were on the air in the third and final hour of the program. There are a lot of people that assume Oliver Martin is going to come home and play for the Hawkeyes. It's not necessarily a given. If you just got out of one relationship, and technically you're not even divorced yet, do you really want to rush to the altar with somebody else? I mean, that's how I approach this, and I think it's how Oliver Martin's going to approach this, but there certainly seems to be some indications, and we'll get to Tom in the 5 o'clock hour. The indications are that he would appear to like to come to the University of Iowa, but he also wants to see what level of interest is out there in his services.
And I think that's fair. I think that when you get out of a relationship, you want to get back out there and say, okay, what is it going to be like in the real world? Who is interested in me? Who is interested in what I bring to the table? And after that, you make the decision about where you want to go. But I do think that this does have to be for him not necessarily a knee-jerk reaction or something where he's jumping quickly into another school, another situation, but you can't diddle around too long because summer workouts are going on, summer school is going on, and that's a really important part of getting ready for the season. So I think it would be pretty obvious to say that Iowa would seem to be the favorite in this situation, seem to be where a guy who is from Iowa City would be transferring within the Big Ten if he didn't like the situation he was in at Michigan. But we'll as I said on my Sports View today, I know we're going to talk about this, but we'll cross the bridge of how does he fit in at Iowa when we get to it.
I think we're eventually going to get to it. It's something
I do too.
Certainly I don't think – I'm not going to fault anybody for dreaming on at this point. The bottom line is this. It's always difficult with a situation like this because he's not going to be able to provide an immediate impact. So the 2019 season is going to continue on one way or the other with or without him unless, for some reason, the NCAA – grants him a hardship waiver, and I don't know. I haven't seen any reporting as far as that being part of the leaving Michigan. You have to request that and make a good case for, well, let's not say make a good case.
You have to make a case,
and then the NCAA goes into the back room and flips a coin. Heads, they grant it. Tails, they don't. I believe that's the official process. I haven't seen any indication that he's going to seek a hardship waiver, so he'd have 3 years to play two. He'd have to sit out the upcoming season and then would be ready to go in 2020. Pep Hamilton, who is the offensive coordinator who helped recruit Oliver Martin to Ann Arbor, is no longer with the Wolverines. He's going to be off coaching in the XFL. You got a new offensive coordinator coming into Ann Arbor, Josh Gattis, who also has a – they have a very large and very talented group of receivers in the most recent recruiting class that Jim Harbaugh brought in. And there seems to be the prevailing thought, at least from Ann Arbor, is that Oliver Martin was not necessarily assured of a high standing on the depth chart. Now, that being said, it could just be that he wants a change of scenery. What did he catch? 11 passes last year, one touchdown. Wasn't exactly utilized. That should, by the way, that should get him completely ready to drop into Iowa's offense. But that's neither here nor there, because I think if you had a player like him in your offense, you would certainly try to utilize him more. I know, and I heard on the gym class earlier today, I believe it was one of the texters to the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line that said Iowa's offense doesn't even really utilize or doesn't focus on the wide receivers, so it doesn't matter. They would if they had a four-star talent like Oliver Martin.
They haven't had that.
They have not had that in recent years. So you really here have a situation where it seems like both parties would benefit. Oliver Martin would come home. He'd be closer to home. He gets a change of scenery, still stays in the Big Ten, and Iowa certainly would benefit from the addition of a player of his caliber, his athletic ability. We're talking about a four-star recruit out of Iowa City West High a couple years ago who had Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, and pretty much any recognizable college football coach in the country trying to woo him to their program. This is not your run-of-the-mill transfer. This is a big deal, and of course he is from Iowa City, and therefore he's got more ties than meets the eye here with the Iowa Hawkeyes. Does he wind up there? Does he wind up with the Hawkeyes? 319-366-1600. Our producer, Kyle Mann, back on the southwest side of town in the KGYM studios, is going to have a big board update coming up for you in just a little bit. A lot of news to get to today, including the announcement that Iowa will be heading to Syracuse, New York, and the Carrier Dome in December for the Big Ten ACC Challenge. It's one of the more high-profile draws, matchups that the Hawkeyes have had in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. So the picture becoming even clearer for Fran McCaffrey as far as that non-conference schedule is concerned. We mentioned the Craig Kimbrell signing, which occurred roughly about 2.5 hours after Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago was on with us last night and said he didn't foresee the Cubs being a player for Craig Kimbrell. This came sort of out of left field. And for 3 years, there's an option for a fourth year, but 3 years, $1 million. And Craig Kimbrell is going to take about 2 to 3 weeks, most likely, to get ready. And that would put his arrival in Chicago somewhere around July 1st. We're going to get to that here in the first hour of the program, but our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, was signing Craig Kimbrell for 3 years a deal that will work out for the Chicago Cubs? There is a lot of inherent risk there, signing a 31-year-old closer who's got some miles on his arm for a 3-year guaranteed deal. Yes or no? Poll question is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Interestingly enough, there's a Michigan-Ohio State football game airing on the BTN here at Mulligan's, but it is pre-Oliver Martin. But I can't help but look up and see the Wolverines and not think about Jim Harbaugh and Oliver Martin and his ties to that program today.
I think something that's getting lost in this discussion about Oliver Martin is maybe some of the reasons why he's leaving Michigan. And I think it's very easy for people to point at, okay, well, they have a deep core of receivers. He wasn't going to play a whole heck of a lot. But I keep going back to the fact that Pep Hamilton was the coach who recruited him. Pep Hamilton is no longer at Michigan. And when we were at Big Ten Media Day last year, there was a lot of chatter with a lot of people that cover the conference and have coached in the conference and know the game a whole heck of a lot better than we do, that there might be a little bit of, let's just say, revolving door going on at the University of Michigan. Jim Harbaugh brought in, I think, 4 or 5 different offensive coaches last year, and there were so many questions. Who's going to call the plays? Who's going to call the shots? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? And it just sort of seemed like there were too many cooks in the kitchen, and he's very quick to bring in new coaches if something doesn't work out. Like, they get shellacked last year in Columbus by Ohio State. After being in the national championship discussion, quickly they bring in a new offensive coordinator. That's 3 offensive coordinators in the last 3 years. I think there's something to be said right now about the instability on the offensive side of the football with Jim Harbaugh and his coaching staff, which is something that you go back to look at the Iowa football program. That doesn't exist. The Iowa coaching staff and is pretty much the polar opposite of what you get in Ann Arbor.
And I think there's something to be said there as well, because you do get sort of the sense that this is, in essence, the rats fleeing the ship here.
Yes.
Before it goes down, because Jim Harbaugh is not exactly on the most stable ground in Ann Arbor, and there's a good chance that there could be even more turnover as far as coaching goes if Oliver Martin had stayed there in Ann Arbor. Harbaugh, who has never beaten Urban Meyer in Ohio State, and now that Urban Meyer's gone, maybe he'll have a crack at doing so. But as you mentioned, the turmoil just within the last couple years of coaches coming and going, offensive game plans changing. I go back to Big Ten Media Day in Chicago last year, where we talked with Caron Higdon, the Michigan running back,
right,
who at one point in time was committed to the Iowa Hawkeyes. We asked him about Oliver Martin, and he raved about his performance.
Who did he
in
compare
practice.
Him to?
Don't test my memory like this. I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Wes Welker.
That's right, because we laughed about of course he would compare a white player to another scrappy white player. Is Oliver Martin scrappy? I don't know about that. You saw him when he was in high school, though, and his ability to make something out of nothing. That's not an attribute that every football player has. He could take a play, a busted play, and turn it into a decent gain. His athleticism, guys like that just don't fall out of trees, especially in the state of Iowa and especially in your backyard. And I think that's why there was some, do we say animosity? What's the way to describe the jolted lover feeling?
Broken
hearts. The broken hearts when he initially chose to go to Michigan. I certainly did not behoove him his decision at the time, because that's the biggest, up to that point in your life, that is the biggest decision that you're going to make, where you're going to spend the next 4 to 5 years, provided, of course, that you're not transferring. That's a big, big ask of any 17, 18-year-old kid, and he did not approach recruiting lightly. He also did not exactly embrace recruiting. If you remember, his family wanted to keep things about as private as possible for the most part. Not every recruit embraces having every step of their journey in the public's eye. Now, that being said, it sort of comes with the territory.
Unfortunately, and, right?
Unfortunately.
We have this discussion quite a bit, but it is unfortunate to see how fired up people get based on where a 17-year-old decides they're going to go to college. You get the give and the take with how crazed we are for college sports, and it's college football is one of the best things on earth. I love college football more than most things in life, but with that type of investment that people make, there comes the drawbacks, and that's clearly one of them.
College football or St. Louis Blues?
Oh, you're going to do this to me?
Well, you said more than most things in life. How about tonight? I can guarantee you tonight I know the order. Tonight, yeah. The Blues are going to be ahead of college football.
I think college football and the St. Louis Blues are 1A and 1B.
Okay. Well, we've got Game 5, and we're going to get to that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour tonight. Zdeno Chara is going to play for the Boston Bruins, broken jaw and all.
Unbelievable. I mean,
luckily the Bruins are playing a team that never takes any headshots, so he mm-hmm. should be completely safe. Ah, see, look, every once in a while you got to poke the bear. And I just
see
poked the
is.
Bear, and I heard him growl already, because St. Louis has a reputation as sort of, I don't want to.
Physical?
I don't want to call it, well, goons. Goons would be the
yes.
term that hockey fans against, would use to describe. But
against teams that can't handle their pressure and their physicality would call them that. I do agree with you
save
on
it.
That. On that front.
Let's save a little bit of that for the 5 o'clock hour. Alex is going with the Steen jersey tonight. You had some people at the office who were very mad at you for your sweater
yeah,
choice
so
today.
The sweater that I wore in game two was the Pierre Turgeon assistant captain sweater. They won that
yep.
night, so they thought Scott Unash, Steve Kane, our sales rep, thought that I should have worn that. Well, I don't have it with me, so I went with the Steen sweater that I wore before Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals. So it wasn't going to be Tarasenko, I can promise you that.
Do we have this in other walks of life? Are there salespeople out there that have a certain tie or shirt that they go to where, the last time I wore this tie, I went and I closed the Miller deal the last time I wore this tie. So you know what? I think I'm going to wear it to the office today. Is it just a sports thing?
I think it's just a sports thing, because in those cases you have control over what you do, but in sports you have no control over what happens on the field or what happens on the ice. So the only way that you can at least pretend that you have some kind of outcome on the game is to be superstitious and act like a piece of clothing might actually be good luck for the team that you're rooting for. Like that you're that important, that piece of clothing has that much of an impact on people that you don't know.
We've got Carlos Collazo of Baseball America coming up in just a few minutes with us. We'll recap the Major League Baseball draft, which wrapped up yesterday. Cole McDonald, the only Iowa Hawkeye to go off the board. But we did have a couple local prospects drafted as well. Spencer Van Scoy, who's been at Arizona State the last couple years, and taken in the 19th round by the Phillies. He was drafted in the 19th round when he was in high school, chose to go to Arizona State, told Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette that now is the right time for him to pursue his professional career. So he will be leaving Arizona State to sign with the Phillies. And then Levi Usher, the former Cedar Rapids Prairie standout, had a great first year with the Kirkwood Eagles program, a 37th round draft pick of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He's committed to the University of Louisville, which is a college baseball powerhouse. He has told the Gazette that he's not quite sure what he's going to do at this point. My gut feeling, a 37th round pick, there's not a whole lot of money there. Honor that Louisville commitment, and especially if you
go there and
raise your profile,
well.
Louisville, you raise your profile, you're going to get drafted again, and it's not going to be in the 37th round. But that's unsolicited advice for Levi Usher, whether he wants it or not. 319-366-1600, again, is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. And you're going to want to keep that number handy, because it's also our phone line coming up in the 5 o'clock hour tonight. Your opportunity to see Gabriel Iglesias at the Iowa State Fair. Fluffy is coming Wednesday, August 14th, and we've got a pair of tickets for you. I was unaware.
Are the tickets, that's right. The tickets aren't here, so I can't.
They are not here.
Take them.
No.
Not that I would
not,
do that.
Well,
but.
you and 20 other people I work with. I was unaware of this, but apparently not every state fair has a great lineup of acts like the Iowa State Fair does, because I came across some people tweeting about the lineup when it was announced earlier this week. Slipknot is coming, Dan and Shay. I think Foreigner is a part of the musical act lineup as well. Other state fairs do not have that. And so Iowa, very lucky to have a lineup of not only great musical acts, but also comedians like Gabriel Iglesias. We'll give those tickets away after we talk with Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com coming up at about, let's say, 5:45 if you're looking to go. And we had a couple people yesterday on inside the 6 o'clock showdown. They were fighting hard for Gabriel Iglesias tickets.
They were just scrapping for one extra answer in that six o'clock
that was
showdown.
That was not exactly a 4-star showdown yesterday. I think the final score was 2-1. You can catch it on the podcast at KGYMradio.com if you missed anything from yesterday's show. 4:22, again, you can join us at Mulligan's. Patio season is well underway. What a beautiful day to be sitting out on the patio right now enjoying happy hour specials for another hour and a half until 6 o'clock. And then Thursday night, you can come in, watch Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals, and enjoy half-price wings from 6 until close. Mulligan's is at 1060 Old Marion Road. I say this every week, could not be easier to find. Just take the 42nd Street exit off Interstate 380, and you head east until 42nd Street tees off with Old Marion Road. You take a left-hand turn, and then your second left is going to put you right in the Mulligan's parking lot. Pretty easy to spot once you take that left-hand turn, too, because there are so many cars here today. And that patio is filling up. You want to sit until 6 o'clock, and then it's wing night. We've got Carlos Collazo joining the program today, Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com, and Twins center fielder Byron Buxton, fresh off hitting the longest home run of his major league career yesterday against the Cleveland Indians, 454 feet. Terry Francona, the Indians manager, told the starting pitcher that if it hadn't had the scoreboard in the way, he would have picked that ball up on his scooter ride home.
So he rides a scooter? That's what Tito, I took away from that.
Tito's a weird dude.
I knew that.
A pretty cool guy. Anybody that's played for him, I know. And forever the answer to a great barroom trivia question. Who was Michael Jordan's manager in 1994 when he played double-A baseball with the Birmingham Barons? The answer, Terry Francona.
I feel like I would have heard that one.
Terry Francona already was the manager of the Birmingham Barons that season. So there you go. You can use that for some barroom trivia somewhere down the road. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will check in with Kyle Mann back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. He's got a big board update for you. And then we'll find out who the winners and losers were in this year's Major League Baseball draft with Carlos Collazo of Baseball America. Back with more of the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We return after this.
Trying to take back your space and have old appliances, grills, and lawnmowers that don't work anymore, and old tires in your garage or basement? Bring them to the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. Starting July 1st, appliances, scrap metal, and tires will only be accepted at 1954 County Home Road in Marion, the same location as the landfill and resource recovery building, so you can take care of all your disposal and recycling in one trip. Some items have a drop-off fee, so get pricing and other details at Solid Waste Agency.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer, all the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Come for the kolaches, stay for the fun during the St. Ludmilla Kolach Festival Friday through Sunday. Carnival rides, games for the kids, bingo, the Blazin' Bohemi 5K, a bags tournament, and live music on the festival stage. Even ice-cold beverages from the Wine and Beer Shed. And savor those fresh-baked kolaches, cherry, apricot, strawberry, apple, prune, poppy seed, and rhubarb. What's your favorite flavor? Bring everybody to the Kolach Festival Friday through Sunday at St. Ludmilla Church along 21st Avenue between 2nd and J Streets in Southwest CR.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
Oh, I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
The St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs. Live from Wrigley Field this weekend.
He leaps, and he made the catch!
Saturday, starting at 5 o'clock here on the gym. 1600 AM, KGYM.
428, welcome back in. It is the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming to you from Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Don't forget, Linder Tire has special online-only savings that you can get by visiting LinderTire.com, or you can check out their three Iowa locations, Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. Cubs falling to the Rockies today at Wrigley Field 3-1. I don't think too many of the 40,000 folks there in attendance probably were bothered all that much given the Craig Kimbrell signing. The subject of our poll question today, we'll get into that here in the first hour. Carlos Collazo of Baseball America is set to join us quickly as well. But first, we'll check in back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids in the KGYM studios. Our producer, Kyle Mann, has a big board update presented by Alexander Lumber. For right now, you can still find them at their temporary Iowa City location, 2802 Independence Drive. Here's Kyle.
The biggest story today broke midway through the show last night and has developed a bit more today. David Eichold of 24/7 Sports was first to report that former Iowa City West receiver Oliver Martin's officially looking to transfer out of Michigan, and he's also reported this afternoon that there does in fact appear to be mutual interest between Martin and Iowa, although he's still going to gauge his interest from elsewhere. The Iowa basketball team got its draw for the Big Ten ACC Challenge and will be making its first ever trip to the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, and the upcoming non-conference schedule has come together pretty nicely. Between set games and tournaments, the Hawkeyes' resume at the end of the season could include Texas Tech, San Diego State, Cincinnati, Creighton, Iowa State, and Syracuse. In a little recruiting update, Deuce Hogan's a 6'4" quarterback out of Texas and was the first commitment in Iowa's class of 2020. And according to the Rivals Network, he's now also distinctly the best as he was bumped up to a 4-star. Even before this bump, he chose the Hawkeyes, holy crap, over offers he held from Georgia, Baylor, and Oklahoma State. The Colonels dropped a low-scoring affair in Clinton last night, 2-1, so they're back out there in a rubber match tonight beginning around 6:30. And then tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and the Indians on the North Gym. We'll also have Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. It's best 2 out of 3 from here on out. You can hear that on the South and Main Gyms.
Carlos Collazo joining us shortly. That lineup for the Big Ten ACC Challenge kicks off on December 2nd with Miami at Illinois and Clemson visiting Minnesota. The Hawkeyes, one of 6 games on December 3rd. The marquee matchups that night will be Michigan at Louisville and Duke at Michigan State. But then you've got the Hawkeyes at Syracuse, probably the third best game that night. Florida State will travel to Bloomington to take on Indiana. Northwestern hits the road to face Boston College, and Pitt will be hosting Rutgers. And then the final night of the challenge, December 4th, Virginia at Purdue. That should be a really good game. Ohio State visits North Carolina. Wisconsin's at North Carolina State. Notre Dame hits the road for Maryland. Nebraska visits Georgia Tech, and Wake Forest at Penn State. May keep some folks up late at night to round out the challenge. 319-366-1600 is the number to reach us at the Hertine & Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertine & Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler. For over 70 years, we were just outside their windows yesterday for Lunchbox Heroes. You can learn more about that by visiting our website, kgymradio.com. And we'll have Carlos with us. As a matter of fact, Carlos Collazo ready to roll with us as we look back on a 3-day Major League Baseball draft that Had some interesting storylines, Carlos. Let's go ahead and start at the top of the draft with Adley Rutschman, the catcher out of Oregon State. Pretty much a consensus number one pick. Do you think Baltimore made the right call here, or would you have gone Bobby Witt or somewhere else?
Well, personally, I think Bobby Witt or Adley Rutschman would have been perfectly fine calls, but I think the industry has kind of told us that Adley Rutschman is the top talent since pretty much last summer. He's been kind of our poll-to-poll number one consensus prospect for this entire 2019 draft cycle, and I think at the end of the day, when you're picking number one and you need to rebuild your system, you just take the best player available, period. You don't worry about the position he plays or whether that fits in your organization, or you don't worry about if he's a college or a high school player or if it fits your competitive window or what you expect your competitive window to be. You just take the best player and you move on, and I think the Orioles did make the right call with that this year.
Is he the type of prospect that can be the centerpiece of that rebuild? Because there's not a lot of, to cheer about right now in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But no, I do think Adley can be kind of the centerpiece of a team, kind of that vocal player that you can feel confident in building around. He can definitely be a Buster Posey type that can be in the middle of your order offensively and kind of lead a strong offense if you put some pieces around him. And then also lead your team defensively, kind of nurture a pitching staff and be an excellent defensive catcher, and he's just a natural leader on the team. So I think there are no questions on my end about whether or not he can be that sort of player on the field with the bat, with the glove, and in the dugout, in the locker room.
Which team surprised you the most with the direction that it chose to go in the first round?
I think the first round largely played out kind of how we expected. I mean, we heard some chatter that this is going to be a wild draft and teams are going to go all sorts of different directions once the kind of top six or seven players went off the board. But I think you have to get down to maybe the late 20s when you look at a team like the Cubs or a team like the Astros. I think both of their picks, the Cubs at 27 took Ryan Jensen, who's a Fresno State right-hander. He's got big-time stuff, but he was a little bit off the board for us. And then Corey Lee, a catcher out of California, who actually plays with Andrew Vaughn, who was a top three selection at 32. He was a little higher than we expected to see, but we did hear chatter that he could be moving up forwards late in the season. And then I don't think it was a huge surprise that just college pitching in general at the back of the first round kind of went, because this college class fell off pretty quickly. So depending on specific teams' evaluations of pitchers, you can get kind of divergent thoughts about where they should go.
Let's talk more about the Cubs and Ryan Jensen. He goes at 27th. What kind of profile does he have, and how surprising was that pick for the Cubs?
We had heard a little bit of buzz about him moving up. I didn't think it would be this high, but he has big-time stuff. And I know the Cubs, normally we'd expect them just to draft a college hitter just because that's a demographic that they've had so much success with in the past, but they also do need pitching in their system. But he's a guy who has a big-time fastball that gets up to 98, which has plenty of life with arm-side run and natural sink, and he pairs it with a really good slider that flashes plus at times as well. I think the big thing with him is you just want to see him improve the control. It's scattered at times, but if he can spot his fastball moving forward and kind of set up his slider more effectively with that, I think you got a chance for a high upside arm.
Carlos Collazo of Baseball America with us, recapping the Major League Baseball draft. The Minnesota Twins, which have a farm team here in Cedar Rapids, had the 13th pick, went high upside high school player with a shortstop, Keone Cavaco. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, Keone was one of the biggest pop-up guys for us this spring. He was a guy that teams didn't really have on their radar last summer when kind of the big high school showcases were going on, because he simply didn't go to a lot of those. But from a tools standpoint, he's got three obvious plus tools in his 60-grade power. He's an easy plus runner, and he's got a really electric arm, whether that's from the corner, from shortstop or third base. And he's even got up on the mound for his high school team, and he throws in the low 90s. But he's definitely a hitter in pro ball. He's got upside with the bat, with that power, and then defensively, he could be a plus defender at third base. I know the Twins drafted him as a shortstop. He played that a little bit with his high school team, so there's a chance he could stick there, but I'd say it's more likely as he continues to fill out, he'll turn into a very good defensive third baseman with a cannon arm and some thunder in the bat. Now, the biggest question is how much is he going to hit? He didn't hit against a ton of the high-level high school pitching on the showcase circuit, but he does play at a powerhouse program in Southern California and probably plays some of the better high school competition in the country, and he did well this spring. So he might not have the longest track record of hitting as some of these other high school players who have kind of been on this circuit, but he's definitely shown that he can do it against good pitching at the high school level.
The second year in a row, the Chicago White Sox go with a Pac-12 bat at number 3 overall. Andrew Vaughn to the White Sox. Was this a good pick for the Southsiders?
Yeah, I think so. There was some buzz early on that the White Sox might change things up and go with a more dynamic athlete from the high school ranks and a C.J. Abrams. He was tied to this team a lot throughout the spring. But I think at the end of the day, Vaughn's bat was just too special and too impressive for the White Sox to pass up. And I don't blame them at all for it. I mean, early on this spring, we had some people tell us that Vaughn was hitting at a level that you could argue he should be the first pick in the draft. I mean, he was the 2018 Golden Spikes Award winner. I think for me, he's the most polished and best hitting prospect in the entire class, high school or college. He's a guy who has an absolutely outstanding feel for the strike zone. He's not really fooled by anything. He's a hitter first, but he has huge raw power. Some scouts have told us he has as much as 80 grade raw power, but he never sells out to try and get to that. I don't think he loses anything on the hit tool or the average to get to his power. He can go to all fields pretty easy. He's just a very professional hitter. And while he won't offer you a ton of value defensively and is probably going to be a first baseman, I know he's played a few other positions or at least worked out at other positions, he's probably going to be a first baseman. But he has plenty of offensive potential to profile just fine there and be a solid middle-of-the-order bat.
How much did the lack of pitching, at least top-tier pitching, alter teams' approaches to this draft?
Yeah, that was a storyline. We were kind of fascinated to see how it would unfold because this year's class, the top pitcher we had ranked was the lowest we've ever had the first pitcher ranked since 1981 when Baseball America started doing draft rankings. Nick Lodolo was the number 8 ranked prospect for us. We've never had a pitcher ranked that low. And as the draft unfolded, the first pitcher off the board, who was Nick Lodolo, going 7, that's the lowest that the first pitcher has ever actually been drafted. So we wondered if teams would kind of push one of the better arms in this year's class up, just because teams generally want to get pitching at the top of a draft, just because it's such a commodity. But we think they played it about how they should. There was kind of a run on college pitching in the teens after Lodolo went off the board. And then you started getting into the second round. And once the second round came around, more arms started coming off the board from the college ranks. And I think that made sense. But it was definitely a hitter-heavy draft, as we kind of expected it to be.
The lack of pitching talent didn't stop the St. Louis Cardinals, who I think just drafted another college pitcher. Was the Cardinals draft sort of straight by their playbook of what they've shown over the past 5 years or so?
Yeah, I would have to like dive in more to see like specifically what they've done. I know they've targeted some hitters in the past as well. So I think the Cardinals are definitely a team that just takes best talent available a lot of the times. And with Zach Thompson at 19, we'd talk about how it's a down pitching class, but I think that's a really good value for Zach Thompson. I think the reason he slid is some teams are a little bit worried about the medical history that he's had. He's dealt with some injuries in the past, but he performed at an exceptional level this spring, and I think he compares to all the top pitchers in this class. We had him, I think, as our second pitcher on the board, second-ranked college pitcher, and I think he's got as much upside as some of the other arms in this class. So I think it's an interesting pick for them, and I think they got good value there.
Carlos, always a fun question to ask with the draft, but what player personally do you think has maybe the fastest path to seeing some playing time in the major leagues?
Yeah, that's a tough one because the past couple of years, we haven't really seen a bunch of guys move all that quickly to the major leagues. And I know that's what a lot of fans want to kind of hear. They want to see a guy who's going to jump on their team at the major league level right away. I think Adley Rutschman and Andrew Vaughn are the two guys who probably could do that and handle themselves quickly. But there were two teams where I wouldn't really expect them to be pushed too aggressively just because you want to control the service time. There are no real obvious college relievers that I think that could make their way to the big leagues super quickly in this class. Again, it's a down college year. TJ Sikkema from Missouri is a guy who I think is pretty polished already and has the kind of mentality on the mound. He goes right after hitters that I think if a team did think they needed to move him, he could be an effective left-handed pitcher in a bullpen. But I don't really know if there is a guy that's going to be in the majors late this year or really early next year in this class.
TJ Sikkema, native of my hometown of DeWitt, Iowa. We appreciate the time. Yeah, we appreciate the time. Ended on a semi-local reference there. Carlos, we do appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Yeah,
Carlos Collazo. Carlos Collazo of Baseball America, and you can read their entire post-draft coverage at baseballamerica.com.
You know how I think it was either yesterday or the day before I asked, is there the Johnny Manziel getting selected? Is there that name where you realize that person doesn't play baseball? Well, did you see who that guy was this year? Did you see who was drafted by the Red Sox in the 31st round? None other than the starting quarterback for the Florida Gators, Felipe Franks, who has not played baseball since his sophomore year of high school. 31st round.
You do see some familiar names pop up on the third and final day of the draft. The really feel-good story yesterday was the Toronto Blue Jays drafting the son of Roy Halladay,
right,
the late great Hall of Famer, Roy Halladay. His son has announced via his Twitter that he is going to honor his commitment to Penn State, so we'll see him in the Big Ten. That was a prearranged deal with the Toronto Blue Jays, which I thought was a very nice honor. The 32nd round, Roy Halladay's uniform number. They choose his son, and they had no intention of signing him, but a very nice tip of the cap. We mentioned yesterday the Padres drafting the son of their rivals' manager, Dave Roberts' son. That's always interesting. You never, all is fair in love and war when it comes to the draft, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I think the, remember a couple years ago, the Cardinals had eyes on Tate Matheny, who was drafted by the Boston Red Sox before the Cardinals could pull the trigger on their then manager's son. So, and Carlos ends unscripted with a reference to TJ Sikkema from my hometown of DeWitt. A couple people on the text line want to make sure that everybody knows that Bryce Ball of Dallas Baptist Newman was drafted in the 24th round by the Atlanta Braves. Not exactly what I would consider an area player, but it's the people's show. You want a shout out to somebody.
People.
Exactly. You want a shout out to somebody from your alma mater. There you go. A 24th round pick from the Atlanta Braves. We did have two area players in addition to Cole McDonald out of the University of Iowa. Spencer Van Scoy, 19th round pick to the Philadelphia Phillies. He's indicated to the Gazette that he will be signing and playing pro ball. And then in the 37th round yesterday, you had Levi Usher, who had a tremendous first year at Kirkwood, former Cedar Rapids Prairie standout. No idea whether he will be heading to Louisville. No, come on, we have an idea. He's going to be going to Louisville. 319-366-1600. Sorry, Angels. You took a flyer. Good luck with that. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Craig Kimbrell is a Chicago Cub, a free agent no more. 3 years, $43 million guaranteed with a club option for fourth year. Did the Cubs make a mistake? Or did the Cubs just set themselves on a path for another World Series appearance? 319-366-1600. We discuss when we return after this.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom at 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
At Indeed, we believe a resume is a great way to see an overview of a candidate. But you're not hiring a resume, you're hiring a person. That's why Indeed offers tools that help bridge the gap between a candidate and the resume. Like skill tests, which let you actually see a candidate's abilities in action to make sure they're a good fit for the job. See beyond the resume with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
My name is Brandon. I am a manager of tire sales at Firestone Complete Auto Care. When you come here to get service, we're going to take care of your car because you take care of your car is going to take care of you.
Come in for the Firestone Complete Auto Care Epic Sales Event and save $100 when you spend $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Valid June 6th through June 9th. The exclusions apply. Cannot be combined with other offers. Additional fees may apply where lawful. See store for details.
Your old gas yard tools have met their match. Right now, the Home Depot has Father's Day savings on the Ego 56-volt cordless trimmer and blower combo kit. Just $249. It has the performance of gas without the hassle. It's two powerful tools powered by a 56-volt lithium-ion battery platform. And right now, it's at a price no one can match. Today is the day for doing with the Ego trimmer and blower combo. Just $249. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available at Pet Boys.
Twins and the Indians one more time. Barrios and Bauer, the pitching matchup for Game 3. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And we will join up with that broadcast on our North Gym frequency at 107.5 FM tonight at 7 o'clock. Twins center fielder Byron Buxton, you will hear from him inside the 6 o'clock hour tonight as that game is getting underway. We caught up with him earlier today. Very difficult to make things work with a major leaguer on game day, but that just tells you a little bit about how accommodating Byron Buxton is. Those of you may remember Byron played center field for the Cedar Rapids Colonels back in 2013, their first year affiliated with the Minnesota Twins, one of several former Colonels who are having breakout seasons with the Twins. Jose Barrios on the mound, Mitch Garver behind the plate, Max Kepler in the outfield, and Jorge Polanco, who continues to impress in that Twins infield. Twins and Indians on your home for Twins baseball, 107.5 FM. Also, 106.3 and 1600 AM tonight. It'll be Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals between Boston and St. Louis. We'll tackle that a little bit more in depth coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, where we will also chat with Tom Kakert of HawkeyeReport.com. Alex, save some news for Thursday. That was how I kind of approached last night, and I walked in. We had Oliver Martin. We knew it was going to be a busy day today. We'll certainly circle back around to that subject next hour. But had barely got in the door last night, and my phone started blowing up, text messages. And as things often work out, not from Cubs fans, but from people who don't like the Cubs, letting me know that Craig Kimbrell had agreed to terms with Chicago. I think one of them came from your landlord, for a three-year deal. There's actually an option for a fourth, but this is a three-year deal worth $43 million. It's actually the subject of a poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Did the Cubs make a smart move in signing Craig Kimbrell for 3 years? Do you think, we haven't really talked about this at all today, do you think I'm a fan of this move?
I'm not going to say that I think you're a fan of this move. I think that you're going to say that it was a necessity. They needed to go out and sign a player like Craig Kimbrell to bolster the bullpen. Yes, they can go out and make some trades, but at this point, their farm system, they don't necessarily have all the high-profile pieces to go out and make maybe two or three of those. So bringing in Craig Kimbrell for 3 years was sort of a necessity. Am I off here?
You're pretty darn close. I don't like it. I do not like it one bit. Now talk to me. I didn't like the Aroldis Chapman deal either, but that was more player off the field as well, and it wound up securing a World Series victory for him. He's not going to be ready, at least according to Joe Maddon, for a good 3 weeks, which puts his arrival in Chicago around July 1st. Well, the trade deadline is July 31st. It would have been far cheaper and maybe less prudent, more prudent, depending on how you look at it. We talked with Jesse Rogers yesterday from ESPN 1000 in Chicago just hours before this went down, and he and I are on the same page on this. buyer's market. There's going to be relief pitchers everywhere on the market. Instead, the Cubs went out and committed $43 million. Now, a lot of this has to do with Ben Zobrist's contract coming off the books after this season and the current season. He most likely is not going to return to the team. He's on the restricted list right now. He's going through a divorce. Chances are he's just going to retire and focus on his family, and I certainly wouldn't blame him if he did. That freed up anywhere between $7 and $9 million. The way that Kimbrel's contract is structured for this season, it's going to be $10 million this year, so a little bit slightly more than the Zobrist contract, but it helped make the numbers add up here. The question is, he's 31 years old. He hasn't pitched at all this season. You're not going to get him until July 1st. Is this going to pan out?
Be patient with him.
My biggest concern is watching that game last night against the Rockies. The bullpen blew up, and what good is a closer if you can't hold a lead to get to the ninth inning when you need your closer? So I think there's a ton of work left to be done to make that team, to solidify that team. The makings of a very good offense are there. We've seen that. We've seen the results. The starting pitching has come around for the most part this season. The question has always been the bullpen, and what good is a closer when you can't get there when you don't need him? So to me, I've got my reservations about this.
Well, I think they have to make other moves. They have to bring in other solid back into the bullpen pieces. But as I was saying before, this move at least ensures that they don't have to give up any prospects or any draft picks to bring in a, well, hopefully for the Cubs, a top-end closer, which Craig Kimbrel has been most of his career. I know people bring up the fact that he wasn't great at the end of the year last year, but they don't have to give up any prospects to get him, and now they can go out and on to, like you said, the buyer's market, where there will be plenty of teams that are not contending ready to ship off those bullpen pieces, and they can make a couple other moves to solidify that bullpen. If this is the only move that they make, if Craig Kimbrel's it and they say the bullpen is solved, I'm not buying that. But if they go out and supplement him with a couple other arms, then you're looking at something.
So when he's ready, and again, we're probably going to see him in Des Moines for a period of time once he's ready to head out and ramp up baseball activities. When he's ready, it gives the Cubs a bullpen most likely of Steve Cishek in the seventh inning, Pedro Strop in the eighth inning, and Craig Kimbrel in the ninth inning. Pretty good bullpen, certainly. Kimbrel, by the way, who's 31, is the only reliever in Major League history to have more saves than hits allowed. I think he's got 330 career saves, and he's only given up 285 hits. He struck out about 40% of the batters that he's faced. He's been one of the most dominant relief pitchers in the game. Now, I know I saw one Hall of Fame sports writer from the city of Boston who tweeted out something less than accurate about Craig Kimbrel's ability to come into games with runners on base, and that was shot down pretty quickly. I agree with the texter that we just got from 1593 on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Good move, wrong contract. And we'll see whether this pans out. Obviously, this solidifies the back end of the Cubs' bullpen, and the Cubs have not had stability in the ninth inning for quite some time. Looking back, Wade Davis was a nomad who passed through for 1 year. Brandon Morrow has not been healthy. It's been a little bit of a revolving door for the Cubs in the ninth inning in recent seasons, and that was one of the reasons that they made that trade to bring in Aroldis Chapman dating back to the 2016 season when they won the World Series. That trade came at an extremely, extremely high price in hindsight, but then again, the Cubs aren't wearing rings for Aroldis Chapman, so I think you make that deal pretty much 99 times
series,
out of 100.
I mean, they paid a hefty price, but they won the World Series. I don't think you can really look at that one and say, well, that's a bad trade because of the result. But there have been some others that you can question John, I don't think that's one of them.
John in Dubuque says I'm crazy on the text line. He says this is a great thing. Come on, August, you'll have Strope in the 7th, Brandon Morrow in the 8th, and Kimbrell in the 9th. I don't think Brandon Morrow throws a pitch in a Cubs uniform again.
I don't either.
I have zero faith in his returning. So maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not. Never been diagnosed. 319-366-1600. John, appreciate you listening in Dubuque. We'll take a quick timeout here at Mulligan's. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store coming up in the 5 o'clock hour after this.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Oh, wow, Bob, that's a lot of work.
What?
You're waxing your car the old-fashioned way. Why?
Because I want the look, the protection, you know.
Well, now there's a better way. 303 Touchless Sealant. Spray on and rinse off. You're done in minutes. And it lasts longer than the wax you'll be pushing around your hood all afternoon.
Sold. 303 Touchless Sealant it is. Hey, where are you going?
Everywhere, Bob. It's a beautiful day. 303 Touchless Sealant. All the protection and shine in no time. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
The St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs, live from Wrigley Field this weekend.
He leaps, and he made the catch!
Saturday, starting at 5 o'clock, here on the gym, 1600 AM, KGYM.
60 seconds, that is, to the top of the hour. Welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you at Mulligan's Pub, the site of the KGYM road trip, driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Stop on in, because somebody's going to leave here tonight in about 2 hours with a brand new Amazon Echo. This is the full-sized Amazon Echo. This is very nice in the box, never before used. We definitely were not playing with this at the office earlier today, asking it sports trivia questions. Destiny's going to get you registered. We've also got, for you listeners who can't join us here at Mulligan's, tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias at the Iowa State Fair. He's coming Wednesday, August 14th. Be listening for your chance to win in the next 45 minutes after Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com gives us the lowdown on Michigan transfer and Iowa City native Oliver Martin. Some Game 5 Stanley Cup talk and NBA Finals action as well, all on the way in hour number 2. It is next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center. I'm Doug Brown. The Warriors expect Klay Thompson will play in Game 4 of the NBA Finals against the Raptors tomorrow night, but Kevin Durant will be out again with a right calf strain. The Raptors now lead the series 2-1 after a road win in Game 3, but ESPN's Tim Legler says the Warriors probably aren't too worried.
I still believe they think they're the best team. If they get healthy, they got to go win one more road game. Whether that's 5 or 7, they're very confident they can do that.
Tim Legler on Golic and Wingo. Game 4 coverage starts tomorrow at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ABC, and the ESPN app. The NBA bans Warriors executive board member Mark Stevens from all league games for a full year and fines him $500,000. Stevens pushed Kyle Lowry of the Raptors and used obscene language after Lowry dove into the stands trying to save a loose ball last night. Bruins defenseman Zdeno Chara, Matt Grzelcyk will both be game-time decisions for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight against the Blues.
Coming up Friday, is this the most up-for-grabs the NBA title has been in, I don't know, 5 years? We'll get you set for Game 4, plus recapping Stanley Cup Final Game 5, and the Women's World Cup is here, and we are picking teams, baby. Golic and Wingo Friday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
That SportsCenter update was...
Did you work out a little too hard? Or maybe overdo it with yard work? Whatever it was, you're feeling it today.
Ooh.
So let CarePro Home Medical help. CarePro Home Medical has something to soothe that soreness, including BioFreeze, ice packs, cold therapy wraps, and pain relief devices to get you back to feeling better. Even weekend warriors need a little help sometimes. Visit CarePro Home Medical in Cedar Rapids or Coralville and connect with people and answers you need.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by CarePro Home Medical. Connect with CarePro for the medical products you need and the professional support you deserve. CarePROHealthServices.com.
Need a specialized tool to finish your vehicle repair? There's no need to buy it if you're only going to use it once. Check out O'Reilly Auto Parts' Loaner Tool Program, available at any O'Reilly store. Find tools like a ball joint press, disc brake caliper tool set, and more. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
.502, it is the KGUM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com with you from Mulligan's Pub tonight on Old Marion Road, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And boy, do we have a fun final 2 hours for you tonight. Byron Buxton is going to join us, the twin center fielder in Cleveland, finishing up that series with the Indians. We pre-recorded an interview with him earlier today. You'll hear that in the third and final hour. Woodja on tap tonight, as well as a conversation coming up in about 15 minutes with Tom Kakert of HawkeyeReport.com, as he'll give us the lowdown and what he thinks Oliver Martin's going to wind up doing now that the Iowa City West standout and Michigan receiver has put his name into the transfer portal. A couple ways for you to win with us tonight here on KGYM, whether you're listening to us on 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, or one of our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 here in Cedar Rapids. Listeners will have an opportunity to see Gabriel Iglesias Wednesday, August 14th at the Iowa State Fair. We will give those tickets away after we chat with Tom here in hour number one. If you join us at Mulligan's, Alex, we were playing around with an Amazon Echo earlier today.
We were.
It was not this particular Amazon Echo.
No.
We have not soiled this Echo. It is brand new. It is in the box. And somebody is going to win it just for coming and spending some time with us here at Mulligan's tonight. An Amazon Echo, all you need to do is be here when we draw at the end of the show. Destiny is going to get you signed up and registered, and then you can take it home and you can have all the fun in the world with it, playing trivia, telling it that you want to listen to KGYM and listen to this particular show.
You can even play Simon Says with an Amazon Echo.
And we found out today, we won't go down that road. Alexa apparently had trouble saying one of our names in the past.
Yeah.
And it's not the person that you would have expected it to be. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertin and Stocker, located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City, where we were yesterday, just across the Ped Mall from Hertin and Stocker Jewelers for Lunchbox Heroes. You can read up more on Lunchbox Heroes by visiting our website, KGYMradio.com. As we mentioned, Tom Kakert is going to be with us in a few minutes coming up toward the bottom of the hour. Why are we talking Hawkeye football on June 6th? It's not the fact that Deuce Hogan is now a four-star recruit. We're going to be chatting with Tom about Oliver Martin, the former Iowa City West standout who has officially entered the transfer portal. He still could go back to Michigan, but it seems all indications are, the reporting that's out there is, that he would like to leave Ann Arbor, and he would maybe, probably, kind of, sort of like to be a Hawkeye, but he also wants to not rush into making any decision. And since his name just went into the portal yesterday, he's waiting to see what type of interest there may be in his services from other schools. If you had to handicap this, and I'll ask Tom this coming up in just a few minutes, scale of 1 to 100%, your feeling that he winds up at Iowa. Because right now, and I'm about at a 95.
You're at a 95%?
Yeah.
I was going to be diplomatic and say 65%, but from all of the things that all the rumble, this is not just something that popped up yesterday.
No.
This is something that we've heard about for months, that there was a possibility that Oliver Martin was looking at transferring. There was going to be interest in transferring to Iowa, and all indications are pointing to the fact that he would be heading to the University of Iowa to play football. So I'm with you. I think there's a much better chance that he ends up at Iowa than there would be to the contrary, but it's never a sure thing until the writing is on that dotted line.
The Lebatard show was busting on Stephen A. Smith the other day for saying, and I'm trying to remember what NBA free agent it was in the past. This is how I arrived at my 95% number. He said, it may have been Durant when he went to the Warriors, but Stephen A. said he was 95% sure that this player was going to wind up with this team unless he changed his mind. So you got to leave the 5% in there for wiggle room. But I'm 95% certain unless they change their mind. Now, with Oliver Martin, you're getting a four-star high school recruit who hasn't had the production at the Big Ten level that maybe you would expect. He redshirted his freshman season. Last year was a little bit of a mixed bag. He played sparingly, caught one touchdown. I think he had, 13 receptions for 125 yards or something in that neighborhood. Now, the talent pool that Michigan is dealing with is a little bit different than the talent pool that Iowa is dealing with, so he had a little bit more difficult time breaking onto the field last season. He was listed as a starter this spring. But as you pointed out in the 4 o'clock hour, Pep Hamilton, who is the offensive coordinator, was the offensive coordinator at Michigan, has left the program for a job in the XFL. Michigan's got a new offensive coordinator in Josh Gattis. They also have a highly regarded incoming class of wide receivers, guys that redshirted last year, and some true freshmen that are going to be on campus for the first time this year. So if you read regionally and nationally what's been written about Oliver Martin's situation, it appears that it was going to be difficult for him to hang on to that spot on the depth chart, that he wasn't necessarily given to be a starter this upcoming season. So the important thing here to note is that no matter what he chooses to do, unless there's a hardship waiver involved from the NCAA, and we all know that those are crapshoots, he's going to sit out. He's going to have to sit out due to transfer rules. He's not going to make one iota of difference for the Iowa football team in 2019 if he chooses to come home, literally and figuratively, to the University of Iowa.
I'll be very interested to see if they try to get a hardship waiver once he decides where he's going, because that's going to add another layer to the story, right? Okay, well, we both have it at a very high probability that he's probably going to be heading to Iowa, okay? If that, in fact, breaks, if he decides to go somewhere else, that's part one of the story. Part two of the story is, does he try to go the hardship waiver route with the NCAA? Because we've seen a lot of these high-profile cases end up in the player's favor as to why they left the school. The reason why they left the school was good enough for the NCAA to grant that player eligibility right away. I mean, Michigan had this not two years ago with Shea Patterson, transferring from Ole Miss, hardship waiver. Nobody really knows what the reason was that he gave, but he thought that he was going to get that waiver, and he was granted that waiver by the NCAA.
The threshold seems to be incredibly low. The threshold also seems to float.
Yes.
Depending on the player. If you have an ailing family member, like a dying grandmother, you're not going to get a hardship waiver. If you want to transfer for more playing time, well, that's a hardship, and they're going to let you play immediately. I'm oversimplifying this here a little bit, but again, tales of how the NCAA approaches the issue. Now, again, this is not a given that Oliver Martin's going to wind up as a Hawkeye. how quickly do you put aside any hard feelings if you are a member of the coaching staff or a player who maybe was familiar with Oliver Martin's recruitment? Because, again, he spurned Iowa the first time around, and I'm not going to behoove him of that. To me, it's the kid's choice. Just because you grow up somewhere doesn't mean you're going to play college basketball there or college football there. Go off, find yourself, spread your wings, spread your oats, however you want to look at it.
Hopefully there are no hard feelings.
Why would there be? But
exactly.
There are human beings involved. We've seen some comments made from Iowa fans on Twitter and social media with regard to Iowa wasn't good enough for him the first time. Iowa should go tell him to kick rocks.
That's such a jaded view of the world.
My response is, have you looked at the depth chart?
Yes.
You're not going to tell a player of that caliber to go kick rocks.
Especially somebody who's never done anything wrong. I mean, he did absolutely nothing wrong in his recruiting process other than decide that he was going to go to a different school than the one that was miles away from his home. Like, that's... there's nothing wrong with the way that he handled his recruiting process. I criticized Brian Ferentz about a month and a half ago when he decided to bring up Ross Pierschbaker in his example of guys that, and why they left and not knowing why Ross Pierschbaker went to Alabama. I thought that was bad enough, but in that case, Ross Pierschbaker was, in fact, committed to Iowa at one point, right?
Yes.
He was committed to Iowa. Oliver Martin was never committed to Iowa. He never broke any of the, oh, well, it wasn't like he was committed and then visited another school and took this all the way up until signing day and chose that school and spurned Iowa. He was never committed. There should be absolutely no hard feelings. And I think that based on the professionalism of Kirk Ferentz, there will be no hard feelings.
I don't think they can afford to have any at this point, especially given his talent level. Now, again, not every four- or five-star talent pans out and maximizes that ranking, and you can split hairs with Oliver Miller on this all day long. The bottom line is he's still got the majority of his college football career ahead of him. You can't look at what he did on the field this year in limited playing time and make any sort of declaration about him as a player. You just can't. This is, I think, heading for a situation of resolution that's going to make Iowa fans relatively happy. That being said, as we touched on in the first hour of the program tonight, Oliver Martin and his family didn't really enjoy the spotlight or a lot of the attention that came with being a high-profile recruit the first time around. I don't think anything has changed with regards on that front. So I expect this to be a very private decision, and sooner or later, he'll make his announcement when he's ready. There's a comfort level at Iowa. He knows people at Iowa. It's his hometown. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean that this is ultimately where he wants to wind up. The indications are he wants to be a Hawkeye, but he also wants to see if there are other schools that are interested and what those schools are and what their respective situations are. Maybe there's a chance for him to go have a bigger impact elsewhere in the next couple years. So he's doing this, in my opinion, he's going about this the right way. I think he's got a destination in mind. I think he wants to get out of Ann Arbor, which to me seems, from the outside looking in, that seems like about as chaotic of a place to be as possible.
I'm not going to sit here and act like I've met a lot of Michigan football players or people who played for Jim Harbaugh. I think maybe I'll say five or six. Five or six is the number. But I have never met a single one that had a good thing to say about him. I have never once met a player that played for Jim Harbaugh that said, man, such a great coach. He taught me so many things, and it was such a joy playing for that guy.
I get the sense that...
I know that surprises absolutely nobody, but...
I get the sense that in 2 years, Harbaugh may not be in Ann Arbor. And you're already burning through offensive coordinators. Your head coach may wind up being next. This is the longest he's ever been at a coaching job, a head coaching job, to begin with. So there's a sense of you're fleeing the building before it's engulfed in flames.
He's the classic example of the way that coaching is heading in the opposite direction of him, right? I think he's a fantastic coach. I think he does a lot of innovative things. I think his downfall is what we've talked about in the past with other coaches. He wants to control everything. He thinks that everything that he should have his hand in everything because he's smarter and more innovative than everybody else on his coaching staff and everybody else on his roster. He doesn't stick to what he's good at. And because of that, I don't think that his programs are really ever going to take that next step, or at least that's the fear. And that's why he's been chased out of every single job that he's ever been at. Like, you mentioned Stanford, right? Stanford wanted him gone. They didn't want him anymore after they went from 0-4 before he was there to 12-1 in his final year.
He took the San Francisco 49ers to a Super Bowl, and they almost traded him to the Cleveland Browns. And that's what you need to know about the khaki commander in Ann Arbor. 319-366-1600, Doug in Coralville. Martin is the rarest of the rare, a four-star wide receiver recruit interested in Iowa. The Hawkeyes would be foolish to not be interested.
Don't worry, Hawkeye fans. They are.
I still would love to know how many people have gone back and scrubbed all reference to Oliver Martin from their Twitter feeds, anything that they put out there on social media. There were a lot of people who were mad because they just assumed that he was staying home. Tim Dwight did many, many years ago. We've seen a number of players that don't want to go that route. They want to go someplace else. Just because you are born and raised in one city that happens to have a college in it doesn't mean you want to spend the rest of your late teens and your early 20s living in that close proximity to family and friends and hangers-on. And sometimes kids just want a fresh start, and he did that for a couple years. Maybe it hasn't been what he was hoping it would be, and so now he's looking to hit the reset button on his recruitment. And it just so happens, again, the reports, I know Rob Howe at HawkeyeNation.com has written this, other folks have put it out there. Reading between the lines, the indications are that he would probably like to be a Hawkeye. But he's also going to wait and not rush into the decision. So we're not going to be talking about this on a daily basis until then, but when there are developments, it's certainly worth discussing. And Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com is going to be with us in just a little bit. We'll pick his brain with regard to the Oliver Martin situation and recall with Tom what that original recruitment was like as far as trying to convince Oliver Martin to stay in Iowa City. It didn't work out the first time, but sometimes the universe has a funny way of righting past wrongs.
9406 on the Hurtian and Stocker text line asks, has there ever been an NFL coach who was traded? The answer is yes. Now, some very high-profile ones, in fact. Now, I think traded can be in quotation marks in a lot of these where
the trade is normally compensation. Like, we'll allow you to hire somebody, but you're going to give us a draft pick in return.
The New York Jets to the New England Patriots in 2000. I think you may have heard of this coach, in fact, Bill Belichick.
Yes.
In 2002, the Oakland Raiders to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think you've also heard about this coach, John Gruden. Herm Edwards from the Jets to the Kansas City Chiefs in 2006. Mike Holmgren from the Green Bay Packers to the Seattle Seahawks in 1999. And Bill Belichick's mentor, Bill Parcells, from the New England Patriots to the New York Jets in 1997. So those are five coaches that were effectively traded in the NFL.
But Harbaugh is the only one of those guys that took a team to a Super Bowl, and then 2 years later, the team was willing to send them, and not only send them elsewhere for compensation, send them to a really bad situation. Because at the time, Cleveland was, well, Cleveland. This year is going to be good. You would want to be Freddie Kitchens in Freddie Kitchens' situation this year. You can't necessarily say that about the Browns. in the past. We've got tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias at the Iowa State Fair. You are just about 15 minutes away from taking those off our hands. We'll give you the opportunity to call and win after we chat with Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals is on tap tonight. You will hear that on two of our three frequencies, 1600 AM, as well as 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. We will join up with the Minnesota Twins in progress at 7 o'clock as they finish up their three-game series with the Cleveland Indians. Earlier today, had the opportunity to get Byron Buxton on the phone. We will play back our conversation with the Twins center fielder at 6:02 tonight. So Minnesota fans, even though we don't have the Twins on the air for you right at 6 o'clock, we'll have a conversation with your center fielder, the former Cedar Rapids Colonel. 5:22, we need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll check in with Kyle on the southwest side, get you another Alexander Lumber Big Board update, and then Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com will be along for an Oliver Martin update. Back after this.
Hurt Teen and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
ESPN Chicago reporter Jesse Rogers appeared on KGYM at 4:30 last night and seemed lukewarm to the idea the Cubs would be pursuing free agent closer Craig Kimbrell. Less than 4 hours later, news broke that Chicago had agreed to a three-year, $43 million deal with Craig Kimbrell. Where did the cash-strapped Cubs suddenly come up with the money to reel in Kimbrell? They're expected to save between $7 and $9 million if utility man Ben Zobrist doesn't return to the team from the restricted list. The 31-year-old Kimbrell is the only pitcher in MLB history with more saves than hits allowed. He also boasts a 1.54 career ERA against NL Central foes. He's been particularly solid against the Brewers, holding them scoreless in 12 career appearances and surrendering just 3 hits in 41 at-bats. Kimbrell, once he's ready, will occupy the ninth inning with Pedro Strop returning to his role as the Cubs' primary setup man in the eighth inning and Steve Cishek slotting in as the seventh inning bridge to those two.
Come for the kolaches, stay for the fun during the St. Ludmilla Kolach Festival Friday through Sunday. Carnival rides, games for the kids, bingo, the Blazin' Bohemi 5K, a bags tournament, and live music on the festival stage. Even ice-cold beverages from the Wine and Beer Shed. And savor those fresh-baked kolaches, cherry, apricot, strawberry, apple, prune, poppy seed, and rhubarb. What's your favorite flavor? Bring everybody to the Kolach Festival Friday through Sunday at St. Ludmilla Church, along 21st Avenue between 2nd and J Streets in Southwest CR.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
Before the start of the game, or once the game is over, the soundtrack for your celebration is Smart Rock on Smart FM. KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect combination for a great summer of top-of-the-line sports coverage. And Smart Rock is the perfect complement for all the action on and off the field. Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
The St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs, live from Wrigley Field this weekend.
He leaps, and he made the catch!
Saturday, starting at 5 o'clock here on the Gym, 1600 AM, KGYM.
It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We are back at Mulligan's Pub on the northwest side of Cedar Rapids, 1060 Old Marion Road. Stop on in tonight as happy hour winding down at 6 o'clock, and then it's half-price wings from the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on this June 6th, 2019, the 75th anniversary of the Allied invasion of Normandy along the beaches of France. There's some tremendous tributes on social media today. The Greatest Generation, they do not like to talk about their sacrifices in war, but my suggestion to you is if you have a grandparent or a great-grandparent or you know somebody, maybe a neighbor that fought in World War II, try to get their stories. Try to get them to open up and talk about their time, because they need to be honored and they need to be remembered. And to think that 75 years ago you had 19-year-old kids storming the beaches of Normandy, taking machine gun fire, parachuting in behind enemy lines, it really is absolutely absolutely stunning to think about. Here we sit in 2019 celebrating and exercising so many of the freedoms that those guys fought to protect. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. It's also the number to pick up and give us a call after we chat with Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com. He's going to be with us momentarily as we get the latest on the Oliver Martin situation, as Martin's entered the transfer portal and could be coming home to the University of Iowa and the Iowa Hawkeyes. First, let's head back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. I had it on my mind there at the beginning of the segment, if you couldn't tell when I tried to tell you where Mulligan's was located. Why is the southwest side on my mind? Well, that's where the KGYM studios are located, and that's where our producer, Kyle Mann, is currently situated. He's going to bring you a big board update presented by the good folks at Alexander Lumber. Their staff can make sure that you get the right materials you need for your summer do-it-yourself project, be it big or small. Alexander Lumber and the Answers by Alexander showroom. Here's Kyle.
The biggest story today broke midway through the show last night and has developed a bit more today. David Eichold of 24/7 Sports was first to report that former Iowa City West receiver Oliver Martin is officially looking to transfer out of Michigan, and he's also reported this afternoon that there does in fact appear to be mutual interest between Martin and Iowa, although he's still going to gauge his interest from elsewhere. The Iowa basketball team got its draw for the Big Ten ACC Challenge and will be making its first ever trip to the Carrier Dome in Syracuse. And the upcoming non-conference schedules come together pretty nicely. Between set games and tournaments, the Hawkeyes' resume could include Texas Tech, San Diego State, Cincinnati, Creighton, Iowa State, and Syracuse. In a little recruiting update, Deuce Hogan's a 6'4" quarterback out of Texas, and he was the first commitment in Iowa's class of 2020, and according to the Rivals Network, he's now also distinctly the best, as he was bumped up to a 4-star. Even before this bump, he had chosen the Hawkeyes over offers he held from Georgia, Baylor, and Oklahoma State. The Colonels dropped a low-scoring affair in Clinton last night, 2-1, so they're back out there in a rubber match tonight, beginning around 6:30. Tonight after the show, we'll join the Twins and Indians on the North Gym, and we'll also have Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. It's best 2 out of 3 from here on out, and you can hear that on the South and Main Gyms.
All right, Kyle, appreciate it as always. One of these days, you're going to get to join the fun here at Mulligan's. Half-price wings start at 6 o'clock tonight. Stop on in. Your opportunity to enjoy those half-price wings watching NHL hockey Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Blues and the Bruins. The best of 7 series is now a 3-game series. Win 2 and you're drinking from Lord Stanley's Cup. Not that that's on your mind at all or anything.
No,
tonight.
It's not. My mind is clear. There are no nerves. There's nothing. I am just focused on the final hour and a half of this show. I'm not thinking about that game at all.
Would you on tap inside the 6 o'clock hour? Also, our conversation from earlier today with Minnesota Twins center fielder Byron Buxton. It just so happened they were replaying the Twins-Indians game from yesterday when we got here to Mulligan's, so we were able to once again see Byron Buxton's 450-foot home run, 454-foot home run that he hit off the Indians pitcher. I think Tyler Olson is his name. Unfamiliar with him. We got Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com with us as promised, and then after we chat with Tom, we'll send you off to the Iowa State Fair to see Gabriel Iglesias this fall. But Tom, we're talking Oliver Martin today, as you can imagine, quite the hot topic here in eastern Iowa. What's the latest on Oliver Martin's situation? We know he's in the transfer portal. Do we have any idea when we may wind up knowing what his final destination will be?
It seems like this thing is fast-tracking a little bit. I've heard from a couple people, but I can't, totally confirm it. But
that he may have been over at the Iowa football complex already today and speaking with some people. So heard it from enough people that, you know, somewhat are dialed in that maybe that was going on today. So we'll see if that actually, you know, ends up being true. But it just seems like the destination is kind of pretty obvious at this point, and that Oliver might have been a little homesick and just kind of wants to be closer to home and be around his friends and family. So hopefully this, it's so funny because it seemed like every semester or every time he came back home, there was a rumor that he was transferring back and all this other stuff. And my stance was always, until I saw his name in the portal, then I'm not going to believe it. But he eventually showed up yesterday, and now it's on. And I really would be surprised if he isn't a Hawkeye. And then the next question will be, could he get a waiver and play this fall?
Now, Tom, I want to go back to the point that you just made. This is not news that came out of left field. This is something that has been bubbling up for a long time. We've heard things, and I know that you have as well. How long has this thing been bubbling up and rumors about Oliver wanting to leave Michigan?
Boy, I can remember hearing some things even after his first semester there. He came back home that winter, and then there was even some rumors that he was going to come back, this past winter, he was going to come back and maybe he was just going to play baseball. I mean, you just hear these wild things and you're like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, Iowa City seems to have a pretty good rumor mill, as you guys both probably know very well, that it turns out some things over the years. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong, and this one took, it was strange because we had heard late last week that it was happening and probably happening within the next 24 hours, and it didn't happen. And then there was a picture of him back up at Michigan with the wide receivers coach and all the receivers out to dinner. And I thought, well, another false rumor. And then this pops up that he's in the portal. So, I kind of just hope just kind of he makes a decision, he comes to Iowa, and then this is all, we can move on from a lot of the Oliver Martin drama that's kind of taken place over way too long, over the last probably 2 years almost.
You referenced a hardship waiver, and I don't know whether this is going to come into play here or not, because the NCAA seems to have pretty arbitrary standards for handing them out or not, but if he does indeed transfer to the University of Iowa, will they go that route? Will they try to get him a waiver to make him eligible immediately, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think that's probably already being discussed from what I've heard. There might be a case for it. I don't know how strong the case is, but it seems like the NCAA is just handing those out to just about anybody at this point. And he could walk in there and say, look, they changed offensive coordinators. This wasn't the offense that I signed up for. It's just a bad situation for me now. And I'm not going to be able to play. And I've already redshirted. I should be able to play. And they may say, you know what? You're right. Go ahead. You can go play this fall. Or they may tell him he's going to have to sit for a year. But I think there's at least a case to be made for him, just based on the changes that have taken place at Michigan in the last year when they hired a new OC.
I'm glad you bring that up, because I brought that up in hour number one. I remember last year at Big Ten Media Day, there were so many questions for Harbaugh about you hired a bunch of new coaches, who's going to be calling the plays, who's going to be doing what, and he really didn't have any answer for that. Did you get a sense that Pep Hamilton leaving and maybe the instability of the coaching staff may have at least played a small factor in Oliver's decision to transfer?
Yeah, I think there's probably some of that, but I just kind of think he's been kind of homesick and just kind of wants to be back in a comfortable place. And, he's a pretty I haven't dealt with him a ton, but just being around him and just, his personality, he's kind of a quiet Shire type kid that doesn't, he never really did a lot of interviews unless you got him in person. And then sometimes he was even kind of reluctant to do those, but he would do those in person. But he was always good once you got him talking a little bit. But, he just maybe, you know, his personality is just more, I want to be around things that make me comfortable, and Iowa City is comfortable for him because this is where he kind of grew up.
Tom Kakert with us from HawkeyeReport.com discussing the recent development with Oliver Martin entering the transfer portal. In theory, if he's eligible to play this year and he chooses the University of Iowa, how does that shape up the depth chart heading into the fall at the receiver position?
It gives him another guy that perhaps they could count on. Now it's really early, and you got to see what he's like in that offense, and how quickly he picks up the terminology and how quickly he picks up the routes. How good of a blocker is he? Todd, you and I have heard that over the years so many times about the Iowa receivers. One of the ways to get on the field is if you're physical and can block. So I think those are things that are going to determine his playing time. But you've got Brandon Smith, you've got Amir Smith-Marset, Reganey's obviously in there, Tyrone Tracy. But after that, you got Max Cooper coming back from an ACL. You just don't have as many options there. And this would give him a guy who's played in Big Ten games. He played in every game last year for Michigan. So, you've got a guy that's got some experience in the league, and obviously very talented kid. So, I could see him, getting an opportunity, and then how he does will determine how much of an opportunity he gets.
I mean, it's been a solid three seasons since we've seen him consistently on a football field. There was the redshirt year. Last year we saw 11 catches for 125 yards and limited action. Do we kind of know at this point, or are we still trying to figure out where he's at in his development?
Yeah, I think it's the great unknown, and that's the
right
kind of cautionary tale of this, is that everybody is so excited about this and pumped up, and carts are getting put way before a horse at this point with a lot of things, but it just seems to be trending towards Iowa, so you kind of can start talking about it. But the expectations for him are going to be really high and probably unrealistic from some portions of the fan base, that he's going to come in and automatically be all Big Ten and all world and everything. And, he's got to kind of fit into the Iowa system and the Iowa culture. And I don't think he'll have a problem doing that, but he's got to be able to do that first. And they've already kind of started their workouts a little bit. They're going to really get going next week, and all the freshmen report this weekend. So I think this is it would be important for him to get in as quickly as he can, I think, just so he can get kind of fit into the culture that Kirk Ferentz and Chris Doyle have established, in the weight room and on the field.
What do you say to the Iowa fans that say they still have hard feelings about the first time when Oliver Martin committed to Michigan, and maybe suggest that there may be also some hard feelings still with the coaching staff and players in Iowa City, that I think I would get over them pretty quickly if I were in their shoes?
Yeah, I would get over them. I mean, he's an 18-year-old kid, and, how many of us make decisions that when we're 18, 19 years old that we kind of regret looking back on them? I mean, all of us have those type of decisions, and that maybe we did something we didn't want to do. Maybe we wanted to see the world a little bit or get away from home, but realized I want to be back closer to home, and everybody does that. I would not hold any, it'd be silly to hold a grudge or hard feelings against the kid, especially a kid who can come in and he can probably help you. And I just think you got to embrace him and just say, hey, everything from here on forward, you're a Hawkeye, and just let him go from there.
How would you compare and contrast the Oliver Martin 2016 social media firestorm to the 2019 Oliver Martin social media firestorm?
Well, it's this time around,
what's happening now is not as angry as it was then. And, you know, when it was going on, when he committed to Michigan and then did that video with him and Harbaugh jumping in the pool, you know, that left a mark for a lot of folks. And, but I think some of those same folks are now like, hey, bring him on. Let's get Oliver in an Iowa uniform. And, you know, if you wanted him back then, you should want him now. He's still, you know, the same player, same kid. It's not like he's had an injury that's limited him. He's a healthy kid. He's the same type of athlete that he was. And I think you want to have a guy like that on your team.
Tom Kakert with us for just a few more minutes from HawkeyeReport.com. What else is going on in the recruiting world? We see Deuce Hogan picked up another star. That's only going to help things from a hype standpoint once he reaches campus.
Yeah, he's had a really good spring, and I know our national guys have gotten eyes on him. He, you know, came to some camps, and they saw him at some other camps. So he picks up a star. So he's according to our rankings, he's the first four-star of the group. You know, Iowa's at number 20 in the Rivals team rankings right now for the 2020 class. Got a huge weekend this weekend, and the big, the big target this weekend is probably Theo Johnson. They've got three kids coming in this weekend for official visits. Johnson being the biggest one, a tight end out of Windsor, Ontario, and you know, it's Georgia and some other schools, big schools that are involved. Michigan is involved with them as well, ironically. So, and then they've got two offensive linemen coming in this weekend. They've already got two commits in the class, and Josh Volk from Cedar Rapids and Tyler Ellsbury from Byron, Illinois. And now they've got a four-star kid, Connor McLaughlin, coming in this weekend from the same high school that Dane Belton went to. And then Mason Richmond, a three-star kid from Kansas, is coming in. So, yeah, I think they take one, maybe even both, but at least one of those two. And then 21st, they've got their huge weekend with most of the commits coming in and then some other guys coming in. And on the basketball front, you got Bakari Eflin coming in this weekend, the grad transfer. So, and I think Iowa's in pretty good shape to get him committed after this weekend, provided the visit goes well. You got to always say that as a kind of a proviso on everything, that as long as the visit goes well with him and Iowa feels good about him as a person, I think they do at this point, that he'll be joining the team.
All right, Tom, I'm pretty familiar with the Lena Winslow School District. How in the world did that school district produce not one but two Division I recruits that are both winding up at Iowa for the near future?
Yeah, I wrote about that the other day. I don't know if you saw that story, but I got in touch with their coach, Rick Arand, and he's a great guy, and he's like, we had like a kid that walked on at UNI, and then they've got a kid at NIU who was there 2 years ago that's a walk-on. But, you know, two Big Ten kids. The school's got 226 kids in the entire high school, and they have two Big Ten kids now with Jennings Dunker coming on along with Isaiah Bruce. So it's a pretty cool story for the small-town kid. I joked with the coach. I said, okay, do you have a Casey's? And he started laughing, and he said, yeah, we got one of those a couple years ago, so that's paired up with the Subway we got. That's their two restaurants in town, and then he joked that they have two churches for every tavern in town. So
my kind of place.
yeah, your kind of town, Todd.
Let's move to basketball really quickly. News came out today. The Big Ten ACC Challenge matchups are released, and Iowa getting a pretty high-profile matchup going to the Carrier Dome to take on Syracuse.
Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, going to be on one of the main ESPNs, the regular one or ESPN2, probably in an early time slot, I would guess, because it's the East Coast game. And that's a good matchup, an interesting one with, you know, Syracuse, Iowa didn't get to play them last year. They were in that same tournament with them, but UConn had beat Syracuse in the
first-round game in Iowa beat Oregon in the games at MSG. So, yeah, it was that's going to be a fun game. I think Syracuse is always a pretty good team. And you get to play in Carrier Dome, which is a kind of a legendary basketball venue. So it should be fun for Iowa to be able to go up against Jim Boeheim in the Orange.
Any movement on the basketball front as far as some news?
Not really. I think just the transfer, the grad transfer for Kari Evelyn from Valpo that's visiting us. That's kind of the biggest thing. And recruiting is different this year for basketball because they're going to have a live period here coming up in another like week and a half where at the NBA Top 100 camp where college coaches can go to that. Now, Fran's been able to go the last couple of years because Patrick McCaffrey's been there. And so he could go watch his son play, but all the college coaches are going to be there now, so that'll be a big deal. And they've got the high school events that are the college coaches will be able to go to here later in the month as well. So it's a little different calendar for basketball recruiting, and so guys aren't going to be making as many visits in June than they would have in the past when that was kind of a dark month for being out on the road. This is going to be a busy month for coaches being on the road this year.
Craig Kimbrell signing, thumbs up, thumbs down?
I think it's just another sign that Theo sees this as with this group, the way the contracts are set. You got about a 3-year window, and now he's got his closer. You know, I was kind of like, I don't know. But then I looked at his numbers, and other than the last two times in the postseason, he's been really good during the regular season. So, and if they can get Morrow healthy with Strope, then you lengthen that bullpen a little bit and get some better arms available for a 7th, 8th, and obviously Kimbrell will take the 9th. So this Spence, I don't know, have they given an indication when he's going to be ready to go?
Joe said today on WSCR maybe about 3 weeks. So around July 1st would be my best guess.
That's good. And Alex, by the way, my friend who is the big Blues fan that I've told you about, he is not watching the game live, and they have only lost once when he refuses to watch during when they're on the road and just watches it, tapes it, and watches it later. So he is not watching tonight. So good news for you.
That is great news.
Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Always a pleasure catching up with you, Tom. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thanks, guys.
And there you have his thoughts on a number of things, but in particular the Oliver Martin situation. And it certainly seems that maybe I would take the over on the 95% that he winds up at Iowa. But until everything is officially written in stone, you just never know. But it does seem to indicate that perhaps there's some movement on the Oliver Martin front, and we could hear that he's indeed staying at home in Iowa City and transferring from Michigan to Iowa sooner rather than later.
I think summer classes at Iowa start June the 14th, and this is a huge time of year for college football programs. I think a lot of people know this, but players are these aren't necessarily voluntary workouts that players participate in during the summer. A college football player's summer is not very long. It ends in early June where they go back to school in the summer and have summer workouts. So those are starting soon. And based on the fact that there hasn't been any discussion about where he's going to visit, you kind of have an idea that this thing might be ironed out sooner rather than later.
And as Tom pointed out, it's important to get in that weight room, get familiarized with the playbook, and be able to hit the ground running. And maybe there is the opportunity here for a hardship waiver, and that's a real game changer, because if you can get the NCAA to sign off on that, you're immediately eligible to play. And all of a sudden, Tom didn't get into specifics there, but the depth chart at wide receiver for the football team at the moment, not exactly brimming with four-star playmakers like Oliver Martin could possibly bring to the Iowa roster. So obviously a situation worth monitoring, and one, as Tom alluded to, that we may see some resolution to before too long. 5:50, join us at Mulligan's. Happy hour is coming to an end. We've got some folks who are just getting in the door getting their orders in before 6 o'clock, and they return to regular prices. But still great specials all throughout the evening, including the beer of the day. And at 6 o'clock, coming up at the top of the hour, half-price wings from 6 until close. And you can come in and enjoy Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals, eating half-price wings and drinking the beer of the day here at Mulligan's. 1060 Old Marion Road. But I did promise one thing after we chatted with Tom, didn't I? Said we were going to give away tickets to Gabriel Iglesias at the Iowa State Fair. Fluffy is coming Wednesday, August 14th. And you can see him if you're caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. Gabriel Iglesias at the Iowa State Fair. He wants you there. And you can be there if you are caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. Let's go take a quick break. We come back. We'll talk Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. Back with more after this.
Your first-place Minnesota Twins are on display at Target Field.
Got him! Ball game over, and the Twins win.
Eddie Rosario providing a flair for the dramatic.
Eddie Rosario with a ninth-inning three-run homer.
With a new hero every night.
And Gonzalez hits it high in the air down the right field line, and it is gone!
Go crazy on June 14th for Prince Night as the first 10,000 fans receive a limited-edition Purple Prince Twins jersey. Get your tickets at twinsbaseball.com/prince.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Looking to build a deck? Think Trex is out of your price range? Well, now you should take a second look at the number one name in outdoor living. Because the latest deck from Trex is engineered for the DIYer and priced to put the pressure on treated lumber. Plus, it comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. And that's something wood can't promise. Find Trex on shelves at the Home Depot and bring home the number one name in outdoor living.
As we watch the suburban garden gnome carefully, carefully without disturbing it, we notice that it moves like not at all. It's inanimate and utterly without brain function. But despite that, when a garden gnome hears about how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, it's clear to them you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. But on second thoughts, maybe don't watch garden gnomes too carefully. People might talk.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Twins and the Indians one more time. Barrios and Bauer, the pitching matchup for Game 3. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And that's what you get on the North Gym, what you'll get on the South and Main Gyms, 106.3 and 1600 AM. Game 5 at the Stanley Cup Finals, now a best-of-three series between the Boston Bruins and the St. Louis Blues. Alex is ready to roll.
I am.
He says he has no nerves. I don't believe him for 1 minute.
Yeah, that was a lie. That was a complete and it wasn't even a lie. It was just me joking. It was me being sarcastic. But Zdeno Chara is going to try to play, I think. They call him a game-time decision. He has that broken jaw after he took the shot that ramped up his stick off the stick originally of Braden Schenn right to the face. He could not speak today at morning skate, so when reporters asked him questions, he wrote his answers down on a piece of paper. But he's going to try to play.
That would still probably be better than some of the news conferences that I've attended as a reporter over the last almost 20 years. Just a hunch. What other sport is somebody playing with a broken jaw?
None. No other sport.
Stanley Cup Finals are an absolutely amazing time, and we'll enjoy hockey as long as we have it left in front of us. My opinion is in front of us, including the one tonight. Again, a best-of-three series, essentially, between the Bruins and the Blues. We'll have all of the remaining Stanley Cup Final action for you right here on KGYM. We will take a quick timeout. By the way, congratulations to Mike in Hiawatha, the winner of our tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias at the Iowa State Fair. Tune in tomorrow. Another opportunity for you to win plenty of great prizes with us here. And when we return, we'll tell you what you can win if you join us here at Mulligan's tonight. Back with more after this.
100 years of hard work can take you far. And no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
At $50,000, vehicle 55, vehicle 5.
At Mecum Collector Car Auctions, you've got to think fast and know your numbers, year, mileage, and 303 speed detailer. 303 cleans, shines, and protects instantly. We need every car's finish looking its best to command the highest bid. I use 303 speed detailer at home, too, to keep my car's finish looking new and lasting longer. Powerful UV blockers help prevent cracking and fading, and it's great for use between washes. 303 speed detailer, available at AutoZone.
Last call, sold.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you from Mulligan's Pub, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Swing on in to 1060 Old Marion Road for your chance to enjoy half-price wings from now until close and possibly walk out of here tonight with a brand-new Amazon Alexa. It's sitting right in front of Alex. We'll draw for a winner after the show is over. You must be present to win. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, the Indians and Twins are going at it tonight in downtown Cleveland. We caught up earlier today with Minnesota Twins center fielder Byron Buxton, and you can hear what the former Cedar Rapids Colonel and most likely American League All-Star had to say during our chat in just a few minutes. Also, Woodja on tap, plus a look back at Game 3 of the NBA Finals last night, as well as a look ahead to Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals, as the Bruins and Blues look to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup. All that and more as we continue the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Swing on by for some special online-only savings at LinderTire.com or check them out at their three Iowa locations, Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. The 6 o'clock hour begins with Byron Buxton next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Doug Brown. Warriors coach Steve Kerr now says Kevin Durant is out for tomorrow night's Game 4 of the NBA Finals, still with that right calf strain. Klay Thompson should be able to play tomorrow. Warriors forward Draymond Green.
We just got to continue to battle and win the next game, go back to Toronto, win game 5, come back to Oracle, win game 6, and then celebrate. Fun times ahead.
Next is game 4, and our coverage tomorrow night starts at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ABC, and the ESPN app. After pushing Kyle Lowry of the Raptors and using obscene language during game 3, Warriors investor Mark Stevens is now banned from all NBA games and Warriors team activities for a year. He will also pay a $500,000 fine. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports the Nets will trade Alan Crabb and his big contract to the Hawks. That clears salary cap space for the Nets to sign two max contract free agents this summer. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports wideout Jermaine Kearse will sign a one-year deal worth just under $1.4 million with the Lions. He played the last 2 years with the Jets. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight in Boston. The Bruins and Blues are tied at 2 games each. Bruins defenseman Zdeno Chara reportedly has a broken jaw. Teammate Matt Grizzlick is hoping to get cleared from the concussion protocol. Both are game-time decisions tonight. Baseball finals today. The Rockies beat the Cubs 3-1. The Rays over the Tigers 6-1.
Coming up Friday, is this the most up for grabs the NBA title has been in, I don't know, 5 years? We'll get you set for Game 4, plus recapping Stanley Cup Final Game 5, and the Women's World Cup is here, and we are picking teams, baby. Golic and Wingo Friday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer, all the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
The St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs, live from Wrigley Field this weekend.
He leaps, and he made the catch!
Saturday, starting at 5 o'clock, here on the gym, 1600 AM, KGYM.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming to you from Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. In the third and final hour, that means half-price wings from 6 until close for the remainder of the evening. Stop on in. We've got some great prizes for you, including an Amazon Echo we'll be giving away shortly after we hit the air. We leave the airwaves tonight. Minnesota Twins baseball on the way as they take on the Cleveland Indians, and joining us on the program now, I think this is probably the second or third. I think this is the third time we've had Byron Buxton on the airwaves with us. The first time was all the way back in 2013 when he was a member of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Byron, what do you remember about your time with the Colonels?
I remember a good bit. That's kind of where things kind of slowed down a little bit for me. I remember my host family very well, the Hoecrafters, which were awesome people. I couldn't have been more thankful for, you know, the people that was there. That was definitely a welcoming city, and it made it very comfortable for us to go to the ballpark each and every day and play.
Byron, I want to talk about this season, not just for you, but with your team. How fun is it to come to the ballpark every day with the way that you guys have been playing?
It's very fun. You know, you just go to the ballpark and you focus on what you got to do. And, you know, we focus on going out there and winning baseball games. And everybody's got this same mentality to where, you know, we gel so well together. The more fun we have, the better we play. So, you know, we just got to keep going out there and having fun, and everything else will take care of itself.
Twin center fielder Byron Buxton with us on the program tonight. What do you attribute the breakout season to, Byron? Is it just a matter of staying healthy? Is it another year of familiarity with the big leagues? What's going on?
It's just me being me. Just going up there, see the ball, hit the ball, simplifying things. It's really me going back to how did I get drafted. You know, when I got drafted, I wasn't thinking about where my hands were or where my foot were. I was just trying to hit the ball and hit the ball hard somewhere. So I just went back to those simple terms, and it's, you know, those little things that I try to keep reminding myself each and every day that, you know, just go out there and have fun and compete. That's what baseball is.
All right, speaking of hitting the ball hard, last night you hit the longest and fastest home run of your career against the Indians, 454 feet. Did you hear what Terry Francona said about that home run? He said if the scoreboard wouldn't have been in the way, he would have been picking the ball up on his scooter ride home last night.
You know, that's a manager that is awesome. You know, it's somebody that I keep up with, you know, even when I wasn't a professional hitter, professional player. He was someone that, you know, was always talked about and someone that I always admire. And I like the way that, you know, he goes about his game.
Did you know that you got all of that, or do you feel like you maybe left a little something on the table?
Nah, I think that's about all I have.
What is you mentioned Terry Francona's manager. What has it been like playing for Rocco Baldelli in his first season?
It's been amazing. You know, obviously we've done a little things a little bit different, and as you can tell, change is good. So, you know, him just allowing us to be us, allowing us to go out there and have as much fun as we can, you know, it's one of those things where everybody can be themselves, and the more everybody can be comfortable with themselves, be comfortable in the clubhouse, it allows you to go out there and be on the field and be comfortable and play aggressive. And, you know, he's one of those guys that always has our back, and no matter what the situation is, we can go in and talk to him about whatever it is, and he leads you to the right way. Try to lead you the right way, and if he can't, he sends you somewhere where you can. And you know that's a big part of who he is. You know, it ain't really the managerism part that I look at him. I look at him more as a person.
And your old manager with the Colonels is on the big league staff. We talked to Tommy a couple weeks ago, but what's it like having him in the clubhouse on a daily basis?
It's a lot of fun. You know, Tommy is always smiling, always jumping around. He's got a lot of energy, and he brings a lot of energy in that clubhouse. You know, he gets us going some days when we seem a little slow a little bit. You see Tommy jumping around, and it gives you that energy, and, you know, that's when things picks up for us, and we do what we do. But, I'm very thankful to have the managers and coaches that I have this year.
I said manager. He was still the hitting coach. He just thought he was the manager when you were here in Cedar Rapids. What's it like doing this at the big league level? You look around that clubhouse, and not only Tommy's there, but Jose and Jorge and Max and a lot of these guys that not only did you play with here in Cedar Rapids, but pretty much came up together with through the system, and now you guys are all having these breakouts at the big league level.
It's special. It's one of those things where you go into each and every day and you just cherish your day. Take it one day at a time. Go into the game and you take the game one pitch at a time. You know, like you said, we came up together through the minor league, so we know each other very well, and we've played alongside each other for a long time. So that's a very special thing to have, especially when you can keep those guys together.
Not only you young guys that came up through the minor league system, but this roster, a lot's been made about the veterans that were brought in the offseason. What kind of addition has Nelson Cruz been to that clubhouse?
It's been unbelievable. You know, each and every day is, no matter if he went 4-for-4 or 0-for-4, he's the same. He brings the energy. He's obviously been playing baseball for a very long time. He knows a lot. So he's one of the guys that if we feel kind of off or want somebody to talk to about something, you know, we can go to Nelly, and he always got something funny to say to kind of make you relax and let you know, like, you're supposed to be here. Like, just relax, go up there and have fun, you know. And that's a veteran guy telling you that. It puts it in the thought of, you know, just relax. Have fun, enjoy this game, and, you know, take it one pitch at a time, like I said. And it slows things down for you.
Byron, you've been getting a lot of comparisons this season to Torrey Hunter. What does that mean to you?
Also something else that's special, especially me looking up to Torrey and getting to play side-by-side with Torrey for half a year and still being able to contact him. You know, that's a very blessed and thankful thing that I luckily have. You know, everybody don't have that. And, you know, just to be able to be in a category with him is, you know, just higher than what I could expect.
Now, with the coaching staff and with Nelson Cruz, you keep kind of remarking on how even keel things stay and how loose things stay and relaxed. How important is that during the course of a 162-game season where things don't get too high, too low, and you stay even keel throughout the whole year?
It's a mentality set. You know, we, like I said, we take each and every day the same. We take it one day at a time, and that allows us to take care of business that day and not worry about what somebody else is doing. We control what we can control, and that's going out there winning baseball games and having a lot of fun doing it.
What's your favorite thing to do on a baseball diamond, Byron?
Probably take away base hits. Any way that I can help our pitcher and get us back in to swing the bats with our lineup is a plus, I feel like. And you know, our pitcher staff has been great lately, so to even help them out and get them deeper into games, that allows our bullpen to rest and be fresh.
Now, we've seen you throughout your career. You go all out. You've run into outfield walls. I know Twins fans brace every time it happens. Take us through making one of those plays. Do you know that the wall is there? Do you ever worry about getting hurt, or are you just focused on making that catch and making that play?
I just focus on the ball and trying to make that catch. When I was small, my parents was always, if you're going to do something, do it 100%. So my mentality is, if I'm out there and you want to play, you only got one chance to play, so why not play all out? So, I mean, yeah, the wall is there. I know I'm going to hit the wall, but that don't bother me. It's just the way I play. I play aggressive. I play with a lot of passion, and I like to have fun. I like the way I play, and that's how it is.
Speaking of someone who plays similarly, what is it like to watch Willens Astudillo play baseball?
A lot of fun. You know, he's one of those guys that you would love to have in the clubhouse. He smiles all the time, very energetic, has a lot of jokes. You know, he's just one of those guys that is always positive. If you strike out and you look over at him, he's going to make you smile somehow, and it makes you relax, you know. For that next at bat, you go up there and you don't really care about that last strikeout. You go up there and focus on what you got to do this time.
Byron, we don't want to take up any more of your time tonight. We appreciate you joining us. But before we let you go, how's Bricks doing? How old is he now?
He's good. He's 5 years old, about 4 feet, by 85 pounds.
Is he playing baseball?
He is.
Right-handed or left-handed?
Righty. I gotta teach him the left side a little bit.
Byron, we appreciate it. Say hi to Tommy and all of our friends there in the clubhouse, and it's been fun having your games here on KGYM all season long. Best of luck to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Byron Buxton, the former Cedar Rapids Colonel, center fielder for the Minnesota Twins, having, statistically speaking, he's on par to have the best season for a Twins center fielder in history. Kirby Puckett, Torrey Hunter, the two names that immediately come to mind.
Wins above replacement, right?
Wins above replacement. There are a bunch of other metrics where he's on par for a historic season. He's only 25 years old. It feels like Byron's been around forever. A lot of people were quick to label him as a bust a couple years ago. He hadn't been healthy, and he didn't have that comfort level at the big league. And you're seeing that this season. And boy, I know the Twins wanted to try to lock these guys down over the offseason. There were the reports that they offered contract extensions, long-term extensions to Buxton, Max Kepler, Jose Barrios, Miguel Sano. They all turned them down. This is a team and a player here that just seems focused on going out and playing baseball and not worrying about the off-field stuff. I didn't want to get in too heavily into the off-season stuff with him, but I think what you're seeing is a manifestation of maybe his, I don't want to say anger, but if you recall last season, the Twins didn't bring him back to the big leagues in September when he was healthy. They left him in Rochester. And I think that sort of put a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He's a guy who talks about just going out and playing the game, but I think it's very clear you're seeing a drive from him this year that we haven't quite seen yet.
I think it's also pretty clear based on his comments to us that he's very happy with the new manager and coaching staff as opposed to the last one.
It goes back to this generation of ball players and sort of allowing them to just be them, do what they want to do, their approach to the game. Don't suffocate them. I know plenty of guys that enjoyed playing for Paul Molitor, but Rocco Baldelli seems to be just a free spirit almost when it comes to running that clubhouse. And I know we've talked with Mitch Garver about it, and Tommy was on the program with us recently discussing the atmosphere. It's so much easier to do your job when you come to work and you love being around the people that you work with. You love the atmosphere at work. And it's very clear that that clubhouse vibe that Rocco Baldelli has brought with him to Minneapolis from Tampa is paying dividends this year.
I think about that type of thing where you're a baseball player and you're showing up to work every single day and you're around these guys in the clubhouse more than you're around your family 6 days a week for how many, seven, 8 months of the year. I just couldn't imagine going to work and being in a hostile situation like that, or not a hostile situation, but just kind of a very tense clubhouse for the entire season. It would drive me crazy. It would be a very tough way to come to work every day. And that's why I think these new managers, people finally figured out that it's a lot easier to get the most out of your players when things are a lot looser and you have a manager who can relate to every player. I know people bring up the millennials and the young guys, but a guy that can relate to every type of player that you have on your team. Because quite honestly, a baseball clubhouse, you're not going to find a more of a melting pot of people with different backgrounds than a Major League Baseball clubhouse.
And that home run last day, 454 feet, I think it came off the bat at 113 miles an hour. A pretty impressive shot there for a Twins team that is hitting home runs in the bunches this season. They are underway in Cleveland, that series finale wrapping up tonight, and we will join in progress on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, that game once we finish up here at Mulligan's tonight. Quick timeout. When we come back, we've still got to get to Woodja on a Thursday before we can pack up and get out of here. Stop on in 1060 Old Marion Road. It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Your chance to leave here tonight with a brand new Amazon Echo. All you need to do is show up, get registered, and you could leave with an Echo. Back with more and Woodja after this.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier girls tennis team captured the Class 1A team tennis title on Saturday with a 5-2 win over Waterloo Columbus. Congratulations on the championship. The Xavier boys soccer team fell in the Class 2A final 1-0 to Council Bluffs Lewis Central on Tuesday in Des Moines. The runner-up finish is the third in school history. The Saints had defeated Knoxville and Gilbert in the first two rounds to advance to the championship. The Xavier girls soccer team begins play at the state soccer tournament today. The Saints meet Nevada in opening round play. The Class 3A number one rated Xavier baseball team split a doubleheader with Iowa City High on Monday to go 6-1 for the season. The Saints will play at Waterloo East tomorrow and at the Dowling tournament Saturday. The Xavier softball team swept Dubuque Senior on Tuesday night to raise their record to 7-4 for the year. The Saints will host Jefferson tonight.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Twins and the Indians, game two of a three-game series, and Martin Perez looking for a bounce-back showing in game two of this series. The Indians had to really put some things together. They had to put Carlos Carrasco on the injured list before the game. So a bullpen day, bullpen night in store for Terry Francona's team. And the Twins got going against that Cleveland bullpen early. They had sizable leads early. A three-run homer from Byron Buxton capped off a four-run second. Nelson Cruz went deep in the third. The Twins had leads of 4-1, 5-1 early in this game, but the Indians kept pecking away. In fact, it was a 6-3 game in the fifth after Jorge Polanco homered, And then the Indians, they got back in this game, scoring two runs. They were unearned in the fifth inning on a throwing error from Miguel Sano. It was a 6-5 game through six, and then the rains came. A heavy storm came through and delayed the game for over an hour and 40 minutes. But we did resume play, and the Twins added on a run in the seventh on a two-out RBI single from Jorge Polanco and briefly led 7-5. But then Indians batting, Blake Parker, he had a rough night in his showing in the seventh inning. Again, pitching with a two-run lead, 0-2 count, but Carlos Santana doubled off the wall and right. Next batter, Jordan Luplo, hit a game-tying home run to right center field, and just like that, this game was tied 7-7. Parker got the next two batters after Jose Ramirez flied out and Jason Kipnis bounced out, but then Roberto Perez, who homered on Tuesday, came up in a 7-7 game in the seventh inning on Wednesday. As he hammers one to right field, that's trouble. Kepler back at the wall. Indians lead on a Perez home run, 8-7 Tribe. Yeah, Chris called that one from the get-go. Perez, a line drive homer to right later in the eighth inning. Francisco Lindor homered on a hanging breaking ball off Tyler Duffy, and the Indians hang on and win by a score of 9-7, scoring three in the seventh, one in the eighth inning, and come back and defeat the Twins on a long and frustrating night, 9-7 the final. The bullpen had a rough go. Blake Parker gave up three runs. Tyler Duffy gave up a run, but Martin Perez struggled again. He did not pitch deep into the ballgame, 4 2/3, five runs. Only two were earned. Despite a night where the Twins hit three home runs, they still lose as they drop their first series since early May with the Indians winning the game. The Twins have yet to lose three straight games. They'll try and keep that from happening with Jose Berríos going opposite Trevor Bauer on Thursday night with game time set for 6:10 Central Time. But the Indians win 9-7 the final from Wednesday. I'm Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
The St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs, live from Wrigley Field this weekend.
He leaps, and he made the catch!
Saturday, starting at 5 o'clock here on the gym, 1600 AM KGYM.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, continuing the KGYM road trip from Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, the road trip driven by our friends at Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Check them out in North Liberty, Iowa City, or Grinnell, or online at lindertire.com. Plenty more to get to over the next 40 minutes or so as we make our way towards 7 o'clock. Just a reminder, if you join us here at Mulligan's tonight, you could walk away with a brand new Amazon Echo. Got it sitting right in front of the table in front of Alex. All you need to do is see Destiny and get signed up for your chance to win. We do ask that you are here when we do the drawing. So what better time than to make your way to Mulligan's? 1060 Old Marion Road, half-price wings from now until close, the beer of the day on tap, and folks having a good time both inside and outside on the patio because it is patio season. We owe you a final big board update, so we'll check in with Alex, with Kyle on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Big board updates brought to you, as always, on the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn by the good folks at Alexander Lumber. For right now, you can still find them in their temporary location in Iowa City at 2802 Independence Drive. Here's Kyle.
The biggest story today broke midway through the show last night and has developed a bit more today. David Eichold of 24/7 Sports was the first to report that former Iowa City West receiver Oliver Martin's officially looking to transfer out of Michigan, and he's also reported this afternoon that there does in fact appear to be mutual interest between Martin and Iowa, although he's still going to gauge his interest from elsewhere. The Iowa basketball team got its draw for the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and they're going to be making their first trip ever to the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, and the upcoming non-conference schedule has come together pretty nicely. Between set games and tournaments, the Hawkeyes' resume could include Texas Tech, San Diego State, Cincinnati, Creighton, Iowa State, and Syracuse. In a little recruiting update, Deuce Hogan is a 6'4" quarterback out of Texas and was the first commitment in Iowa's class of 2020. And according to the Rivals Network, he's now also distinctly the best, as he was bumped up to a 4-star recruit. Even before this bump, he had chosen the Hawkeyes over offers he held from Georgia, Baylor, and Oklahoma State. The Colonels dropped a low-scoring affair in Clinton last night, 2-1, so they're back out there in a rubber match tonight. That game's set to start here in just a few minutes. Tonight after the show, we'll join the Twins and Indians on the North Gym. We'll also have Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. It's the best 2 out of 3 from here on out, and you can hear that on the South and Main Gyms.
All right, 6:26. We haven't even made a Woodja. Haven't got Woodja worked into the schedule here. We've been so packed with guests today, including Byron Buxton, who hopefully you enjoyed hearing from. We caught up with him earlier today as the Twins taking on the Indians currently. So we also haven't really dived in all that. So let's kill two birds with one stone here. Alex, would you say we're going to see Kevin Durant at all during this NBA Finals? Because he's now been ruled out for Game 4. It seems pretty clear to me that this is just sort of a, I don't necessarily say a charade is the right word, but they're playing games here with the idea that Kevin Durant could be available, and every game so far that has not been the case.
If he is not available for Game 4 of this series, which he is not, that tells you what you need to know about this injury. This is not a situation. I speculated. I asked the question, are the Warriors just sort of slow playing this and making sure that he's healthy before they bring him back, or excuse me, better said, are they waiting for themselves to fall behind in the series before they bring him back? Well, they've fallen behind in this series, and he's out for Game 2. And all of a sudden, most people believe that this could be a pretty quick series for the Golden State Warriors, including myself. Well, it's not going to be. And the Warriors better put their foot on the gas, or they're going to fall behind 3-1. There's no... They didn't have enough firepower without Klay Thompson last night. With Klay Thompson back in the lineup, you wonder if they have enough firepower the way that the Toronto Raptors are playing. Kawhi Leonard is an absolute superstar. He is a generational player, and he's in the category of players that can win games, can have championships, and can lead their teams to finals appearances and finals wins almost by himself. He's that good at this point in his career. So I do believe because of that, and if they fall behind 3-1, there's a chance that we do see Kevin Durant maybe in game 5 or 6. But I thought we would definitely see him. I thought that there was 100% chance that we would see him, and at this point it's a coin flip.
Nick Nurse is going to win a title, isn't he?
They look, if Klay Thompson is not able to play, is hindered by that injury to the point where loses effectiveness, Nick Nurse is going to win a title. If they are left with Steph Curry running the show and Sean Livingston as a starter and Quinn Cook as a player that has to play extended minutes, they're in trouble because the NBA is so built around stars and role players. You have your do everything stars, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. The Warriors have more than most teams. But you lose two of those guys and you're left with some of these role players and second teamers, they're second unit guys who are used to coming off the bench and playing with the second unit against the second unit, you thrust those guys into starting roles. Steph Curry scored 48 points last night. It did not matter one bit. Welcome, I said this. Steph Curry got a welcome to what life has been like for LeBron James for a long time.
Your thoughts on the NBA Finals? We'd love to hear them on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600, as the Raptors look like they can pull this off. And that would be, of course, quite the run for Nick Nurse, the former UNI standout, and Carroll native. The other story from last night, and the one that has a lot of people buzzing, involved Kyle Lowry going into the first row of seats courtside.
Right.
And there appeared to be some physical contact with, at the time, was reported it was a fan. That fan is actually a minority investor in the team by the name of Mark Stevens, who now has been banned from attending games for 1 year and fined, I guess, what would probably be the equivalent for you and me of like $5, but the NBA has fined him $500,000.
It's a stiff punishment, and it should be. I think it's the right punishment. I think that the NBA got out in front of this. You cannot have somebody. And at first, there, if you didn't see it, Kyle Lowry went flying into the first row of seats and absolutely took out a poor lady sitting there in the front row. And at first I thought to myself, oh, well, maybe the lady pushed him to get off of her. And if that were to be the case, there I would not have said anything. But no, it was somebody sitting to about three seats to the right of Kyle Lowry who gave him a clear shove. And you the NBA is one of the few sports where the crowd is quite literally right on top of the players, like sitting next to the players. You cannot have this if you're the NBA, and they know that.
Now, the NBA cited in its fine of Stevens some inappropriate foul language. So in addition to shoving Kyle Lowry, he also said something to him, and I don't know what was said, but that was clearly an issue here.
If it was vulgar language,
if you watch the reaction, you can tell that Kyle Lowry is quite upset by whatever was said. The Warriors put out a release that said his behavior last night did not reflect the high standards we hope to exemplify as an organization. They're also extremely disappointed in his actions, and along with Mr. Stevens, offer their sincere apology to Kyle Lowry and the Toronto Raptors organization for this unfortunate misconduct. You put it best. There's been a lot of talk recently about Major League Baseball extending netting because of foul balls going into the stands. This, to me, is the equivalent of sitting right along the sidelines of an NFL football game or something.
I mean, that's what it is.
These players, they dive for a loose ball or are heading out of bounds. Those are big, thick dudes that can do a lot of damage, and fans are sitting right on top of the court. There is no room to breathe. So you're going to have these interactions from time to time, and to me, it's almost a minor miracle that somebody hasn't been seriously injured
right
in a situation like this.
I know that there every time one of these incidents comes up, and I agree it doesn't really come up as much as maybe you would think it would based on how close these seats are to the court. But every time one of these situations comes up, the debate gets sparked again as to whether or not they should move the fans off the court. Because if you know about the NBA configuration, yes, there are floor seats on the opposite sides of the bench, but on the side of the bench, a lot of times the player on the end of the bench will be sitting actually next to a fan, like you do in your cubicle at work, like I am with Todd Brommelkamp right now. Distance from Todd Brommelkamp to me, I know you can't see it, we're sitting about 2 feet apart. A lot of times you get, in the NBA, players sitting that far from fans. And the question comes up, should they move fans away? And the NBA doesn't want to do that because they can charge people out the you-know-what for those seats. Those seats for a regular season game are in four digits already. For postseason, sometimes they get into the five or six digits depending on which game it is. They don't want to get rid of that. I don't think that they should, because they make so much money, and it's a good thing for the fan experience. They just need to get out in front of all of these issues that come with it, and I think they've done a pretty good job of that.
According to a lot of reports online, what Stevens said to Lowry was the equivalent of go have relations with yourself,
okay.
Which isn't going to go over well
no.
with any person, let alone an athlete who's in the heat of the moment. And even LeBron James has come to Lowry's defense here. He says there's absolutely no room in basketball for the type of behavior. And through the hashtag protect the players onto the end of his Instagram post.
So clearly the players don't like the situation. I mean, this has been something that they've been very outspoken about, right? I mean, you've seen Russell Westbrook. You've seen LeBron James. It seems like there's an incident every other night with Russell Westbrook on the road, especially in Utah.
And it's not like he did this on purpose, going into the stands to inflict harm or anything like that. That's what I don't understand about this. If you are sitting there courtside, I think you understand that you're taking some inherent risk that a situation like this could happen. Again, luckily nobody was hurt. I wonder what would happen if Kyle Lowry had been injured in all of this, if he winds up getting pushed away and sprains an ankle or something else happens here. I know the likelihood of that in watching the replay is very low, but this could happen at some point in time. So the NBA not wasting any time banning Stevens for a year from attending games and fining him $500,000. And I don't know whether he will be still a minority investor. They don't use the term minority owner. Minority investor in the Warriors. Maybe the partners can come along and buy him out. 319-366-1600. That's game three of the NBA Finals. We'll have the finals to their conclusion on KGYM. Coming up for you tonight on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM, it's going to be game five of the Stanley Cup Finals. Boston and St. Louis skating in what now is a best-of-three series for the right to skate with Lord Stanley's Cup. Alex isn't nervous at all.
So I'm excited.
So we're not going to have him break down tonight's game when we return after this. It's the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues from Mulligan's Pub after this.
Your first-place Minnesota Twins are on display at Target Field.
Number 100 for this amazing first-place Minnesota Twins team.
With a new hero every night.
That's going to get out of here.
Twin sluggers homered 11 times against Seattle in May.
And the 1-1, there is power, high and deep to left field. Back it goes, deep it goes, and gone.
They'll look to build on that when the Mariners visit Target Field June 11th, 12th, and 13th. Grab your tickets at twinsbaseball.com so you're ready to catch some souvenirs.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Come for the kolaches, stay for the fun during the St. Ludmilla Kolach Festival Friday through Sunday. Carnival rides, games for the kids, bingo, the Blazin' Bohemi 5K, a bags tournament, and live music on the festival stage. Even ice-cold beverages from the Wine and Beer Shed. And savor those fresh-baked kolaches, cherry, apricot, strawberry, apple, prune, poppy seed, and rhubarb. What's your favorite flavor? Bring everybody to the Kolach Festival Friday through Sunday at St. Ludmilla Church, along 21st Avenue between 2nd and J Streets in Southwest CR.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
Twins and the Indians one more time. Barrios and Bauer, the pitching matchup for Game 3. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And we will join up with that game in 20 minutes. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you from Mulligan's Pub. A lot of action out on the patio today, and you can stop on in still as we are on the air. Half-price wings from 6 until close tonight. Somebody is going to walk away with a brand new Amazon Echo. Lots of ground to cover here. Some finals for Major League Baseball earlier today. Always some matinee action on Thursdays. The Cubs falling at Wrigley Field to the Colorado Rockies 3-1. They lose a little bit of ground on the Milwaukee Brewers, who were 5-1 winners today at home against the Marlins. Cardinals also put one in the victory column today as well, as they beat Cincinnati 3-1. Boston tops Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium 7-5, and Tampa Bay over Detroit. The Mets and Pirates also winners in early action today. The games in progress right now, including the one that we will join up with, Minnesota trying to avoid a sweep against the Indians. Now, a sweep would move Cleveland just 8.5 games back in the AL Central, but right now Minnesota up 1-0 through an inning and a half in Cleveland. We'll get you more details on the baseball schedule to come. Lots of ground to cover, as we mentioned, over the final, we'll call it 10 minutes here at Mulligan's. Another successful road trip.
Absolutely.
Love being back at Mulligan's. The weather here,
especially this time of year. I love being here all times of year, but with that patio and everything that goes into having a beer out there or some food on a nice summer day like this is... it's the best part of living in Iowa. It's awesome.
Love this
time of year.
It's going to get really hot, and then it's going to cool off here momentarily, and then I think we're going to jump right in headfirst into summer. But we will wait and see on that. If you don't like the weather, just wait around a little bit. Again, one of the beautiful things about living in this wonderful state. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here at Mulligan's. Kyle, our producer back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, is going to be ready to roll again tomorrow with a big board update. Big board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. We'll have perhaps some Oliver Martin news tomorrow. I have no idea what the timetable is on that, but Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com joining us in the 5 o'clock hour, mentioning that he thinks Oliver Martin will announce his intentions on where he's transferring relatively soon. As you pointed out, Alex, the summer semester, the summer class schedule
right.
at the University of Iowa gets underway in about a week. And presumably, if you're going to enroll in summer classes and get a head start on your new education, your new home, they would want to make an announcement relatively quick. So we'll keep you abreast of what's going on there. Local programming begins again tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes have an opportunity for you to take home a gift card to Austad's Golf here in Cedar Rapids. If you missed their show or any of our show, you can download or listen to the podcast at kgymradio.com. Poll question available there today. The Cubs signing Craig Kimbrell for a 3-year, $43 million deal. Is that going to work out for them? Yes or no? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Let's go ahead and get final 10 minutes or so of the show tonight. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Boston and St. Louis, we've mentioned Zdeno Chara is expected to play with a broken jaw. How effective do you think he can be with a broken jaw?
See, that's the $64,000 question tonight. And first of all, the reports recently is that Chara is on the ice. Chara is going to give it a go. Bruce Cassidy, the head coach of the Boston Bruins, has said that they will likely play 7 defensemen. And if you remember in, I think it was game 2 of the series, Matt Grizzlick, one of their other outstanding young defensemen, took a really high hit from Oscar Sundquist. He has been out since. They called him a game-time decision. This is what caught my attention. Bruce Cassidy was asked about those two availabilities. two guys' availabilities. He said that Chara was feeling much better than Grizzlick. If that tells you anything, Zdeno Chara has a broken jaw. So that tells you Matt Grizzlick will probably not play tonight. In fact, he is not on the ice. But the Bruins are going to have to dress seven defensemen. They usually, if you don't know about hockey, you usually go with six. And that means they're going to have to take an offensive player out of their lineup. They're going to have to dress seven defensemen. And what my guess is they're going to have a very, very tight pitch count on Zdeno Chara. We're talking minutes, 10, 15 at the most. I would guess that he'd be used in penalty-killing situations only where we're trying to use him for what he is best at, which is penalty-killing and not all that awesome. Because think about it. You know how much communication goes on the ice? That is a huge liability to have a defenseman out there that can't speak. You don't think about these things, but that is a huge disadvantage to have him out there playing 35, 40 minutes like he usually does and not being able to communicate to his defensive partner.
We'll see how things play out. We'll have that for you on 1600 AM as well as on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. A little bit of NFL news to pass along coming down the line in just the last 5 minutes. The Philadelphia Eagles and Carson Wentz agreeing to a four-year contract extension. The Eagles going all in on Carson Wentz through the 2024 season.
They had to. That's an organization that has tied their future to Carson Wentz. And you see the guy that's been so successful in Nick Foles go to the Jaguars, and they pay him a bunch of money. I think Carson Wentz is a great quarterback. Can he stay healthy? That's the question. But the going rate for a quarterback is pretty high these days.
Oh, look at this list of players that the Eagles have now signed for at least three more seasons.
Right.
With Wentz, you've got one of his top targets in Zach Ertz, Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelsey, Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, good mix of players on both sides of the ball. They must really feel that there is a window there for them to get back to the Super Bowl. And you get a player like Carson Wentz, you're not going to take a risk on losing him. So don't see what the financial commitment is there yet from the Eagles, but a four-year extension for Carson Wentz through 2024, and I'm sure ESPN national programming will have more on that as tomorrow we grace the airwaves with ESPN programming beginning with Golic and Wingo in the morning, transitioning into the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gotts, followed by the Stephen A. Smith show, and then the Will Cain show before local programming takes over the airwaves at 3 o'clock. Poor Stephen A. Stephen A. has been under the weather lately.
Is that why he's been gone a lot lately? I was wondering if he went on another vacation.
Reports are that Stephen A. has been under the weather. They had his pal from First Take, Max Kellerman, filling in for him earlier today on the radio program here. I thought maybe he was just off becoming the new voice of Siri. And Stephen A. joked, speaking of Siri.
Could you imagine how crazy that would drive people?
Oh, a certain segment of the population in particular.
If that was the only option for Siri, the Stephen A. Smith voice, would you get rid of your phone? I don't have anything against Stephen A.
Bonus, would you?
I know people, especially with his voice, aren't a huge fan of it at times.
Siri, what should I do to the weed? 319-366-1600. Speaking of Siri, we have awarded our Amazon Echo for the evening, so we appreciate all of our listeners for joining us here tonight, and we'll be back here in 2 weeks. We'll have another great prize for you, but you can win with us again tomorrow. We're going to have some great giveaways for you, beginning with the Austad's gift card on the gym class at 3 o'clock. We'll have some La Cantina gift cards as well as another chance for you to win tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias, a.k.a. Fluffy, coming to the Iowa State Fair on Wednesday, August 14th. Your chance to win those tickets coming up with us tomorrow on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. One last time, Game 3 of the NBA Finals last night. Should we have seen this coming? Did we undersell the Raptors, or did we not take into account the loss of Kevin Durant and how it was going to affect the Warriors?
We didn't know that Klay Thompson was going to get hurt. We didn't. That team going into last night, I thought if they have Klay Thompson, maybe they win the game. I don't think it's a sure thing that they win the series with Klay Thompson. I don't think it's a sure thing they win game four with Klay Thompson without Kevin Durant. I think the Raptors are a very good team. We knew that. But when I saw that Klay was going to be out of the lineup, that's when you start saying they have to win this. The Raptors have to win this game. They have to win this game in order to put themselves in a good position. And now you're sitting there at two games to one and wondering if Kevin Durant is ever going to come back in this series. And if you're the Raptors, do you smell blood now? Do you try to pounce on this lead, go up three games to one, head back to Toronto with a chance to close things? Still not if Kevin Durant is going to play in this series. And that's why all of a sudden things are interesting, very interesting. And you wonder if at this point this whole thing is a coin flip. Games four is going to tell us a lot about where the rest of this series is going to go. I know that's an obvious statement, but it's true in this case.
And if you missed the announcement earlier today, Steve Kerr at a news conference saying that Kevin Durant is officially out for game four. It was our would you question today. Would you say we see Kevin Durant during the finals? The window for seeing him may shorten if Toronto keeps winning games the way that the Raptors have, but do you get desperate and try to throw him out there at less than 100%? And how would that affect things if you had a hobbled Kevin Durant out there? You want to talk about sort of backing a team into a corner right now. Nick Nurse is a couple wins away from an improv. I would love to go back to last June when we had Nick on the program with us shortly after he was hired to see what the odds were at the time of him leading the Raptors to an NBA championship. And then I would also like to find the nearest sports book, which at that point in time would still have been, I believe, in Las Vegas, and put some money down. Speaking of gambling, coming up on the program tomorrow, we'll have an update on a neighboring state and how you could possibly be betting during your next trip to Wrigley Field or Guaranteed Rate Field in the state of Illinois. That plus our weekly chat with Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom, a love it or leave it, and a whole lot more on a Friday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn as we make our way back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids and the KGYM studios. A big thanks to everybody here at Mulligan's hosting us once again for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Just because we are leaving doesn't mean that you can't still join the good folks at Mulligan's. Happy hour is over, but half-price wings are in effect from now until close, as you can get ready for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. They'll have it for you here on the TVs, and we've got it for you coming up on two of our three frequencies. Twins baseball on the way on 107.5 FM. We'll talk to you from the southwest side tomorrow.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the